The following is a special local sports presentation on 92.1 WVTK. This is Middlebury Union High School football. All season long, catch every game, home and away, as the Tigers defend their state championship. Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK is brought to you in part by
Napa Auto Parts, the A. Johnson Lumber Company, Monument Farms, Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, Denneker Chevrolet, LaBerge Insurance Incorporated, Autumn Gold Jewelry, the National Bank of Middlebury, Lathrop Forest Products, One Credit Union, Foster Motors, Woodware, Champlain Valley Properties of Middlebury, Mike's Auto and Towing, Vermont Field Sports, Mike's Fuels of Bridport and Brandon, Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromatch, J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, Community College of Vermont, Countryside Carpet and Paint, the University of Vermont Health Network, Porter Orthopedics, and Shear Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. And now, with a call of the game, here's Bjarke Sears and Bruce Eamon.
Bjarke.
For the Middlebury Tigers, the 2018 season has been a winding road. Along that way, they've had wonderful successes, like beating Hartford 27-14 and beating St. Albans by a substantial number, 28-6. But also in this season, there have been trying times for these Tigers. Certainly the first week where the Tigers fell behind to Colchester and then ended up really growing a lot from it. Along the way to playing against St. Johnsbury, where they allowed a touchdown almost every possession of the game. But last week, Bruce, they've been alternating wins and losses. Last week, they won one in pretty convincing fashion. It's pretty important for them to get two in a row tonight.
Well, as you said, Bjarke, they've alternated wins and losses all season, and you're right. You know, it started with a loss the first week against Colchester, followed by a win at Hartford, you know, when they took on Hartford, a loss against St. Johnsbury, win against the BFA Bob Whites, a loss against Rutland, and the big win last week against the number one team in the state, 5-0, undefeated, scoring points like crazy, and the Tigers came in and shut them down, so you're 100% correct. It'd be nice to see them string two together in a row.
Yeah, and tonight they'll have to do that against an interesting team, and one fans at home may not be familiar with. This season there is a combined Burlington and South Burlington football team. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But, Bruce, what that accounts for is there's a lot of players on this team coming together who have played before probably when they are young but are still adjusting to be on the same team. But there's also a lot of talent.
Yeah, there certainly is, and again, they come into tonight's game at 4-2, tied for a three-way tie for second place in Vermont 1 Division football. So again, there's only two games left in regular season, tonight and next week, and so this game won with significant playoff ramifications for both teams.
It's going to be a fantastic game, and we're excited to bring it to you. I'm Bjarke Sears, along with my radio partner, Bruce Eamon. Excited to bring you the Middlebury Tigers taking on the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves. We're going to step aside for a moment, but we'll be back with more from pregame here at Doc Collins Field on 92.1 WVTK.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. These football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
Everyone knows how great it feels to accomplish two things at once. That's the great thing about dual enrollment at the Community College of Vermont. You can earn free college credits to get you started on a degree that also counts towards your high school credit requirements. It's the perfect two-for-one. So if you're a Vermont high school junior or senior, consider dual enrollment at CCV. And if you're not feeling ready for college, no worries. CCV offers Intro to College and Careers, a free class for any high schooler that teaches you the skills you'll need to be successful. So apply today at gotocollegevt.com.
When making home improvements, consider your options carefully.
Excuse me? Hello? I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Hi.
Oh, finally. I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Well, you're in the plumbing department, so...
So you can't help me?
No.
Countryside Carpet and Paint is your hometown experts in paint, flooring, tile, and hardwood. Their advice is genuine, and they truly care about how your project comes together. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury.
Decorate the countryside away. Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance.
Hey, it's Mike.
And Shane from Mike's Auto.
Hey, Shane, I think we should have been electricians.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because we sure fix a lot of lights.
Yeah, like your check engine light, airbag, ABS, TPMS, and maintenance lights.
Yeah, and don't forget headlights, brake lights, taillights, dome lights, and dash lights.
Oh, and that's not all. We can pretty much fix anything that's screwed or glued to your car.
So if your car shakes, rattles, bucks, spits, or just plain has a hissy fit, bring it on in.
Oh, and don't forget about your state inspection.
And remember, if we can't fix it,
it ain't broke.
Mike's Auto, Elm Street, Middlebury.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera and Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back to week 7 pregame here on WVTK. The lights are on. Fans are coming into Doc Collins Field and grabbing their seats. And the sun is going down. A beautiful night for football. Getting a little chilly based on the number on the cars of the lot. It's going to be a well-attended night here at Doc Collins. Good reason for that, Bruce, because this is a game with a lot on the line.
Yeah, there certainly is a lot on the line. You know, it's interesting, too, for the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves. You know, you mentioned before the last break that this is an important game for the Tigers to get some momentum going, alternating losses and wins. For the Seawolves, kind of a similar thing, Bjarke. They started the season with a win at Essex. Then they lost at Rice. They ran off three wins at Colchester, Brattleboro, and CVU. And then they lost last week 28-22 to the Cougars of Mount Mansfield. So they're 4-2 on the season, and they need this game just as much as the Tigers do.
They certainly do. They do, but in a way, the Tigers are actually in a slightly worse spot. The Tigers sit right now at 8, and they're 3-3. If they took a loss, they're going to fall much farther behind. The Seawolves do need this win. But I think for them, they're packed enough in the middle of that group where you can only vault probably so far. But for the Tigers, I would say it's even more of an essential win for them.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, we were talking a little bit off air about a thing called QPR.
Sure.
In terms of ratings, the top 8 make the playoffs. But the QPR people may not know what that means. What is that all about?
So the QPR, basically, the season's only 8 games long, so you only get so many opportunities for one team to end up with a different record than the other. You know, as we see right here, parity could come together, 5-1, 5-4, 4-2, 4-2. How do you separate them from each other? So basically, they have a rating that they make where it takes games that you play on the road and at home, you get different points for that. If you play up a division and you win a game, you get points for that. If you play down, you don't get as many points. So basically, they factor together to make it overall strength of schedule. The strength of schedule informs then the rating system itself. So right now, but then they break it down in a way where for us at home, we don't really know how the QPR, you know, what the different pieces are. Right now, for example, Rutland's QPR is 9.25. And in the first place, Mount Mansfield is 9.00 in second place. I can't do the breakdown of how they get to that number, but what I can say is it's a collection of all the different factors that would make games a schedule seem harder or easier, and then how did you do against that difficult schedule?
So for people that heard the game last week where the Tigers came in and they beat the number one team in the state, but they played down division, right?
Correct.
So there's not as much of a boost as you would think.
Correct. And although for the Tigers right now that's academic, they're the only team at 3-3. You know, they win tonight. There's another team at 4-3. Now you are getting into that tiebreaker stuff. And the QPR essentially serves as the tiebreaker.
Yeah, it's just really interesting when you see that because there's all these different variables and everything. But again, it is a short season, and it just goes to show you, as we've been saying all year, each game really does mean something, even though the teams are transitioning from week one to week seven now. And again, at the beginning of the season, when we did the first game against Colchester, you know, you wonder, would Coach Smith be happy with being 3-3 at this point?
Yeah, you know, at that point, I think he would hope that he would be 3-3 on the upswing.
Yeah.
And that's what we really want to see tonight, I think, is 4-3 and on the upswing. What can you do and go out and play a consistent game? Because so far it hasn't been an entirely consistent season.
Well, at the beginning of the year, we were talking, too, about having a young team. What are we going to see? Are they going to learn? And, you know, for me, after that win last week, I mean, admittedly, Burton did not play well last week. I don't know about you. You've been doing this a little bit longer than I have. I have never seen a team take as many penalties in a game as I saw the Bulldogs. Have you seen that before?
No. Not like the 14, 15, whatever it was that they had last week. No, that was...
They went down to Applejack Field. They beat the state's number one team. You would think that the Tigers are playing sky high today and that they really can beat anybody.
Yeah, you would hope they feel that way, but at the same time, they're going to need to really take care of business because, as one person joked before to me, this is the Chittenden County All-Star team. And when we come back from break, we're going to talk a little bit about why that is. You're listening to pregame. Middlebury Tigers getting set to take on the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves here at 92.1 WVTK.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
Here at Shearer Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. I know we talk a lot about the great deals, but there's more to Shearer than just great deals. We remain committed to the members of our communities. Whether we're taking a youth group bowling, sponsoring local community events, we believe it takes a village to make everyone successful. Find out more about how we support the local community. Follow us on Facebook, shop local, and join our village. Come visit us at 1675 Shelburne Road in South Burlington. Find out for yourself why thousands of people choose Shearer.
Buying your next pre-owned car is a big deal, unless you're buying a certified pre-owned Mini. And then, it's a mini big deal. Visit Mini of Burlington today and test drive one of their many certified pre-owned Minis. Buy with confidence that your Mini has undergone a 360-degree inspection by trained Mini technicians. And they're priced even better than they look. Your certified pre-owned Mini is waiting for you at Mini of Burlington. Your best years are still ahead. Visit Mini of Burlington, Champlain Drive, Shelburne, and at miniofburlington.com.
Desabre Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk grade dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Desabre on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one-stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
The Middlebury Tigers have just come out as a group from the locker room, jogging around the field as the strains of Amazing Grace play from bagpipes. And now it transitions over, and the Middlebury Tigers are getting ready for week seven, and we're ready, and we're ready to go, Bruce. It's going to be a fantastic night for football. A game with a lot of implications for the playoffs. Only 2 weeks left to go until that gets started. And a really fascinating game for Middlebury because they're playing against a team that's never existed before.
Well, again, you know, what are the expectations going into this game? Again, I think this is a great learning opportunity for the Tigers because at the beginning of the year, we were talking about learning the whole season long. Will they see some adversity in this game? Will they jump out to a big lead? We really don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
It will be very interesting. It'll be interesting to see as they play against this combined Burlington and South Burlington team. I made a joke before break, and it was one that just been told to me on the sidelines, was that this is a Chittenden County All-Star team. While one thing people at home might be surprised by is to hear that we're saying the Burlington, South Burlington, whatever they are, they're the Seawolves. But it doesn't. But no matter what they were, the fact that it's two combined schools of that size. And that's what's surprising. In Vermont, all around the state, there is declining enrollment. And that's accounted for a lot of schools combining their sports, things like that. However, there's not a lot of declining enrollment in Burlington or South Burlington. The reason they're together as a football squad has nothing to do with the size of the teams. This is the third largest and sixth largest high school in the state. Okay? They're combined three times the size of Middlebury. So you ask, why does that need to be? And you have to think, what are the advantages of that team and for that team? As much as they could tell, neither South Burlington nor Burlington was able to put a full team on the field in a position where they wouldn't have to put very young players in the position of getting hurt. And so they put together this combined team. Again, this combined 1,800 students at Burlington and South Burlington High School. There are about 630 students at Middlebury High School. So it's a really remarkable question. But one thing you have to think about, Bruce, and I'll just hand this off to you for a second to think about, what does that do for a school to have a student body combined of three times the size for one school to another?
Well, again, it's probably going to take a while to generate some support. That may have been your rival back in the day. Now you're together.
Yep.
And again, for the Tigers, what are we getting ourselves into here? I mean, you've played one before. What do you expect? But again, I think from a learning perspective, it's a great opportunity because we've talked about this all year. You are going to hit adversity, especially come playoff time. And I think, especially for a younger team like the Tigers, that can only benefit them.
Sure, and I think that adversity is going to come in the form of a very physical football game tonight. I think Burlington, South Burlington are going to be a large team because there's a reason that people postulate about this. We'll talk about it a little more at halftime, but fewer kids play in South Burlington or Burlington. But because of the size of the school, even if you have a smaller percentage of kids play, they're still going to end up being a tremendous talent pool of kids to choose from. And their physical size, which matters in football, right? When you're young in South Burlington, people might point out, say, hey, you're big, you play football. You're a little more likely to, maybe if you're not so big, play something else. But here in Middlebury, such a football culture, lots of people playing when they're young, kind of everybody comes out. But that means you get the big kids and the little kids and everything else. Up there in Burlington and South Burlington, you're generally going to get the big kids, the football players. Interesting tonight to see how do these already undersized Tigers come out and play against these, I'm expecting, physically large Seawolves.
Well, it'll be interesting, too, because we've seen in some of the other games this year where the players have been bigger, some of the players, C.J. Bryan, Ian Plouffe, using their speed to just blow by. You can't hit what you can't catch. And even though there's been some bigger players, those teams have not been able to stop the Tigers' speed. And then when they've gotten up in the games, we've seen Coach Smith's Tigers go on these sustained drives, 9-minute drives, just eating the clock. And that, you know, we'll see what kind of strategy they come up with tonight. Are they going to come up against a player for the Seawolves like the Jake Cady, who we saw just scored on literally every possession earlier this year up at, I believe it was St. Johnsbury. I mean, my goodness, what a specimen of talent he was.
Sure. Well, you know, you make a fantastic point about the fact that the Tigers have been taking on bigger teams all year. I mean, if there's any team that should be prepared to do that, it's really them. You know, we are going to step aside for a moment here, and we're going to be back with a few last thoughts of the starting lineups here as we count down to kickoff on 92.1 WVTK.
Monument Farms in Weybridge is 100% authentic and part of Vermont's heritage. They literally do it all, from growing their own corn, raising the cows, feeding and milking them, then processing and distributing the milk. You can find their great local products in many area stores if you live locally. Please stop by their popular dairy store Monday through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
The The cooler weather is here, and time to think about fixing any problems you have with your car, truck, or 18-wheeler before the cold weather sets in. So get the right parts the first time and quick at Napa on Court Street, Middlebury. See Brad and the staff, and they'll take care of you. And if they don't have the part you're looking for, and that does not happen often, they'll have it for you in 24 hours. So the next time you're looking for any part, stop in or call Napa Auto Parts in Middlebury, and you'll see why everyone is making Napa their choice. Price, quick service, and knowledgeable people that can find what you need fast along with the solid advice. See Brad and the staff at Napa Auto Parts on Court Street in Middlebury. For parts for the car, truck, and even the 18-wheeler, and those hard-to-find parts to keep your vehicle running smooth. Make your number one choice, Napa in Middlebury. Napa, closed on Sundays.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're counting down to kickoff here at 92.1 WVTK. Middlebury Tigers at home tonight, taking on the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves at Doc Collins Field. Tigers are wearing their all-black. Seawolves come out in all-white with their South Burlington-themed navy blue out there. Kind of a powder blue, actually. So, Bruce, we're going to turn to you and get the starting lineups here for tonight's game.
Sure. Thanks, Bjarke. We'll take a look at the starting offensive team for the Middlebury Tigers. On left split end, number 22, senior Zach Dunn. The left tackle, number 68, junior Tristan Cannell. The left guard, number 79, senior Spencer Catterett. The center, number 66, senior Will LaRock. The right guard, number 51, senior Riley Brown. The right tackle, number 64, senior Lucas Farrell. And the right split end, one of the captains, number 89, senior Wyatt Cameron. Quarterback, number 18, junior Tim Gettleman. Left halfback, number 11, senior Simon Fisher. The fullback, number 33, junior Thatcher Trudeau. And the right halfback, number 14, junior Tyler Buxton.
You do have some defensive players from Burlington and South Burlington. Whether or not it's an exact number of 11, it's what the team gave us.
All right, so we'll take a look at this. The starting defensive lineup for the Burlington South Burlington Seawolves. At linebacker, number 3, senior Duncan McDonald. The defensive back, number 7, Cameron Yee. He's a senior. Another defensive back, senior number 11, Tenzin Kelly. At linebacker, number 12, Manny Dodson. He's a senior. Another defensive back, number 18, Hakeem Fouad. The defensive line, number 20, senior Robbie Mafuda. At right defensive end, number 32, junior Kai Schmidt. Also on the right side, number 54, sophomore Sam Smith, one of the defensive linemen. The other defensive lineman, number 60, he's a junior, Silas Shepard. Linebacker, number 63, junior Michel Bergeron. At defensive end, number 68, junior Brett Bowman. At number 75, defensive lineman Owen McDonough. He is a junior. And that is it. That's what we have, the starting lineup for the Burlington and South Burlington Seawolves.
And their captains are out on the field talking it over here, getting ready to flip the coin with the officials. The Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves are coached. So tonight, just so you know, for those at home, I'm going to refer to them as the Seawolves most of the time. Burlington, South Burlington at some points, just for the ease of play-by-play. For the Seawolves, the varsity head coach is Joe McDonald. Offensive coordinator is Brennan Carney, who actually played under Joe McDonald back when he was in high school. Both of them were the head coaches of the two high schools. They have come together now to work together. Brennan in the role of pupil to his old teacher. And for the Tigers, of course, they are coached by Dennis Smith, assisted by John Newseder and Jed Malcolm. And the Tigers and the other captains go riding off the field here.
South Burlington High Schools travel and practice as a team.
Burlington and South Burlington asked out here to not get introduced as individuals. They asked to go as a team.
Welcome the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves to Middlebury.
And as we wait here for the beginning of the national anthem, Bruce, any last thoughts here as we get ready for the game?
Well, I'm excited about this. After the game that we saw last week, against the Burton Bulldogs, where Middlebury really had their hands full. But again, the Bulldogs taking more penalties than I have ever seen before. It'll be nice to see the Tigers come out and see if they can get in a rhythm quickly, especially against a team they haven't seen before.
Absolutely. You have to get in that rhythm quickly. You have to get feeling confident. But they probably feel that up and down roller coaster that you've described. And I think coming out for the Tigers and being able to set a tone and feeling like you're ahead of the game a little bit, that would be pretty important for them, I think.
Well, even last week, even though they won that game, if you think about all the penalties that happened, it was impossible for either team to really get in a rhythm. There were some big plays, but even on both sides, there'd be a penalty. Someone would run 50 yards, and then it would be called back.
Sure.
And, I mean, there were four, by my unofficial count, I think I had 16 penalties. Boy, was that a messy game.
It really was. It really was. And although mostly it was on Burton that how messy it was, you're right, for the Tigers to be able to come out and play a clean game against Burlington, South Burlington, is going to be pretty important, certainly. Looking across the field here, they're pretty, as I predicted, they look like a pretty large team. Tigers are going to have to get out and really get after it. I think they're going to have to win at the point of attack, and on when they're running, they're going to have to be able to set their blocks, especially on the outside, to allow those runners to get out around the corner and get upfield. As you pointed out earlier, speed, I think, is going to be essential today. And is South Burlington going to pass? Burlington, South Burlington. Are they going to pass? For me, Bruce, from their perspective, that's my biggest question.
Well, again, one of the things that the Tigers did last week, too, was use their speed to run towards the sidelines. And once they got to the corners, they were gone.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens this week.
We are pleased that you are
because join us tonight. As the defense for the Tigers goes, so too does, to a great degree, the offense. The Tigers are able to slow people down. The Tigers get enough reps where they can kind of get moving and get running. Except for a few games this year, they haven't really come out and just immediately put it on people. Except maybe that first game against Colchester, in which case they didn't actually end up winning the game. All right, and we have a color guard coming out onto the field as we get prepared to hear the national anthem here. A beautiful night in Doc Collins Field in Middlebury.
Hello, I am
and
Ben
it looks
Turner.
Like they are going to have a short message here so we can set the scene. The flags are not flying particularly much. There's no real breeze. It's a nice night for football. A small moon up above the clouds. Clouds just sitting there. And looks like a few kids are gathered down by the north end zone there. And Bruce, it's going to be a good night for football.
Well, contrast this with the game that we saw earlier this year against the BFA St. Albans Bob Whites, where there was like a 40 or 50 mile an hour wind, and that really affected that game.
It did. And so tonight, again, the question of will teams throw, I think, comes up as an interesting one. Tigers have thrown at times this year, but were not particularly successful even last week in their win. I would think that they would want to get that aspect of their game going heading into the playoffs. I mean, one thing you want to think about, Bruce, as you get ready for the playoffs, it's also about getting to where you want to be. And they're getting to it. We're going to step aside, and we'll be back with the start of the game on 92.1 WVTK.
Hi there. This is Craig Lee, sales manager at Foster Motors in Middlebury. It's the Ram Power Days and the Jeep Adventure Days here at Foster Motors, and I want to invite you into our dealership to find a vehicle that works for you. I could sit here and throw out all kinds of discounts and amazing payments on vehicles for like 30 seconds, or I could just offer you our services. Great deals on new, pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and vans, and great trade values at a dealership that is there for you. Come in to Foster Motors, sit down with a member of our sales staff and see why we are much more than just a name on a mud flap. And always remember, at Foster Motors,
make sure your bow is tuned up and ready for the hunt. Stop in to Vermont Field Sports and have Tim tune your bow for that shot you've been scouting for. And don't forget to check out the new PSE and Parker bows and crossbows. You've been waiting all year for this one chance at the perfect shot. Don't miss out. With 30 years' experience, the staff at Vermont Field Sports can answer all of your questions. Vermont Field Sports, located at 1458 Route 7 South in Middlebury. Or find us on Facebook at Vermont Field Sports.
How many times have you really felt good about the financial institution you deal with? The people who use all the varied services at One Credit Union on Green Street in Vergennes do. It might be because One Credit Union is known for their unmatched personal service. This service is provided by people you like to work with, not by people you have to work with. Low-fee banking services provided by people you like. It all adds up to One Credit Union. If your bank doesn't add up to that, it's time for a change. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. One Credit Union. Together we are one.
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK, Port Henry, Bridport, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And back judge Dave Warner.
And the pregame talk is over. It's time for game time here. It's week 7 of the Middlebury Tigers 2018 season. The Middlebury Tigers taking on the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves. An exciting night certainly for both teams with a lot on the line. A lot on the line both in the schedule, but also a lot in line in terms of momentum.
And also development too. The Tigers have a young team, and as we've been really talking about all season, lulls and highs for the Tigers this year. Some big wins, some losses, and again, a team tonight that they're taking on that they have not seen before. If I'm Burlington and South Burlington, I'm going to come out here throwing the ball against the Tigers, but we've talked about other teams that we thought were going to do that this year and did not.
Yeah, I think very often, I think football coaches are quite conservative creatures by nature in many cases. And so I think if you can not make mistakes very often, that's what they're trying to do. And as you say, sometimes then you don't really get as aggressive as you probably should. Well, we're ready for kickoff here. The Middlebury Tigers are going to be sending it to the Seawolves. The Seawolves are going from south to north, from left to right on your radio dial. And it's Bodie Rubright with the kick. It's teed up. It's now bouncing down to the 10. Player's going to pick it up there for the Seawolves and cut back towards the middle of the field and immediately get dropped by a couple Tigers. That was quick coverage there. That looks like it was Nick Clark on the tackle for the Middlebury Tigers.
Yeah, Clark got down there pretty quick, and they were on them pretty good. Great special teams play there by the Tigers. And that's something, you know, that's something that plays into a game that doesn't really get on the score sheet a lot of times. But again, they Clark getting down there so fast, giving the Seawolves not fantastic field position to start this game.
No, certainly not. They start out at the 14. Oh, sorry, the 9. That's not right. Yard line. And the center quarterback is back. He takes it off the middle of his running back. Plows forward for a gain of about 5 on that carry. For number 5, that's Sean Clark. No.
Cameron and company on the south.
Dodson, Manny Dodson on that carry.
Gain of 4 on the play, 2nd and 6.
2nd and 6 coming up for South Burlington on the 18-yard line. And the quarterback is Duncan McDonald. He waits for it. He takes the snap. He turns, hands it off to his running back, goes up the middle. Pretty big back. Plowing forward is Manny Dodson. And Dodson got up to about 2-3 yards shy of the first down. 3rd and 3 coming out from the 22.
And so far, the Seawolves' offensive line doing a good job giving their runners some room to run. Another nice pickup there. Pickup of, looks like, about 4. So 3rd and 3 from the 22.
Our depth chart did not give the quarterback correctly. Kevin Paparello is in for Burlington, South Burlington. That is who is back in the shotgun. Paparello waits for it. It comes in high to him. He hands it off to his running back up the middle. Speedy job getting through the line. That is going to be a first down coming up for the Seawolves. That carry was by number 32, Kai Schmidt.
And Schmidt went a little bit to the right there, picking up the first down. So it looks like he got about 4 on that.
Kerr on the stop.
And it was Josh Kerr on the stop for the Tigers. Right now, we're early in the game. 10:30 left to go in the first quarter. The score is scoreless, 0-0. South Burlington right now sitting 1st and 10 from the 25. And quarterback back in the shotgun takes a turn, hands it off to Schmidt, who goes running up through the middle, gaining about 3, maybe a long 2 on that first down carry.
And that time, the Seawolves running to the left, and the Tigers' defensive line limiting the damage there.
Buxton and company on the soft that time.
Tyler Buxton in on that tackle from the defensive secondary. He's really stepped up his game offensively since C.J. Bryant's gone out, but he's had a really strong year at the defensive back position as well.
Pick up of two on that run.
And the quarterback is back in the shotgun waiting for it. He's got two receivers on the left, one over to the right, one running back in the backfield with him. And he calls it out. He's going to try to take it himself right up the middle. He gets stopped by a few Tigers after a gain of a couple. And so it is going to be a third down and about five coming up.
Mason Kaufman on the tackle there for the Tigers.
And a short five.
And so for the Tigers right now on defense, this is a pretty important play. You have your opponent sitting at the 30-yard line. If you could stop them from gaining this 5 yards, you're going to get the football in fairly good field position. And the quarterback is back, pitches it to his running back on the right side, able to get over his home tackle. But the Tigers are able to bring him down before he gets the first down. Flag comes in on the play, though.
Flag there on the backfield. And it came out late, too.
It did. Well, it looked like after the play was over, so we'll see what the call was.
Because he did make the first down initially.
And right now, as South Burlington talks it over, we will note that Duncan McDonald is the quarterback in the game now, who had originally been marked as the starter. See what the call is on the field.
Penalty against
the Seawolves. They'll be backing it up. Tigers are going to take it because it was after the play. It's going to remain fourth down. They're going to be punting it away, but they're going to be punting it dead away in bad field position. This is a really great way for the Tigers to start. That was a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, 15-yard penalty, and that drive, six plays, only 16 yards for the Seawolves, and an unsportsmanlike conduct, and that'll back the kicker up to about the 5-yard line.
Yeah, he's standing back, certainly for Burlington, South Burlington, you want to convert this cleanly. Don't want anything high. A nice snap goes up to him, manages to handle it. Not a long punt, but a useful one. Lands it about midfield. Simon Fisher grabs it, fakes it, but then keeps it himself. Cuts to the middle of the field, turns upfield, gets stopped after a gain of about 4 yards. The Tigers are going to have first and 10 from the South Burlington side of the field. They're going to be at the 46.
So about a 45-yard punt. 3 or 4 yard return. And the Tigers take over, as you said, I'm sorry, in pretty good field position.
Absolutely. So 8:46 left to go in the first quarter. The Tigers and the South Burlington Seawolves are tied 0-0. Tigers with their first offensive possession. And here comes Gettleman up to the line. He has four wide receivers, two on each side. He has Thatcher Trudeau in at running back behind him. Fisher goes into motion from left to the right, but it's going to be a handoff. Trudeau up the middle. He is going to be stuffed right at the line of scrimmage. No gain for Thatcher Trudeau.
And on that play, the Seawolves, their defensive line doing a nice job not letting the Tigers get anything going.
No gain,
second and 10.
Thatcher Trudeau had a nice week last week for the Tigers. He, in fact, was our J.P. Carrera player of the game for the work he did at fullback and at linebacker. That's certainly a good week and looking to continue to build on it tonight. And it is Gettleman under center with two receivers to the left, two to the right, and Trudeau in the backfield is the lone fullback. Gettleman moves Fisher into motion. That's going to go to Fisher on the right side. He tries to string out towards the outside. A gang of linebackers comes over with him, however, brings him down after a gain of only two over on the right sideline.
Three or four.
I will give him three, according to the announcer. Wade Smith upstairs. It is going to be a third and about seven and a half here coming up for the Tigers. They are on the Seawolves side of the field, but only by a few yards. They're about the 46 of the Seawolves.
A big play for both teams here, the Tigers especially, but for the Seawolves, if they were able to get the ball back after getting this drive started on their own 49, that'll be a momentum builder for them.
Let's see what happens here. Gettleman's under center with two receivers to the left, two to the right, and in comes the flag.
That's a delay of game on the Tigers. That's
going
to send them back five, I believe.
We're going to keep track of penalties tonight. Not necessarily what they are, but we're going to keep track of how many for each team. It'll be a good thing we had tonight.
It's going to be third and 12
coming up for the Tigers. They've now moved to their own side of the field. It's been backed up. And Gettleman with four wide receivers. Three to the left, one to the right. And they're going to throw it out to Buxton on the near side. It fell out of his hands. And it is going to be a punt coming up for the Middlebury Tigers.
Bring up a fourth down for Middlebury.
So the Seawolves on that drive, really no damage. They did a nice job keeping the Tigers from getting anything going there. And they should get the ball back. A relatively decent field position there. Returners, they've got one at the 25 and then one at the 5.
It's an interesting thing to observe for the Tigers. Usually they'll pound the middle a little more before they start going to the outside. For two of the first three plays were out to the edges. And right now, though, it's going to be a punt coming up. Wyatt Cameron in the game for the Tigers, ready to punt it from about the 35-yard line. He collects it, and it punts. It goes a little off his foot, however. This is going to end up being probably around the 36-yard line or so. And that's going to be where the Seawolves take back over their second possession. With 7:03 left to go in the first quarter, it is still Middlebury 0 and Burlington South Burlington 0.
You know, Bjarke, it's interesting. We've talked about times of possessions in some of the games so far this season. The first drive by the Seawolves, only 3 minutes and 14 seconds. That last drive by the Tigers, only 4 plays, 1:34. So this is the third possession of the game, and the Seawolves with the ball. First and 10 at the 35, scoreless, 7:03 left to play first quarter.
And it's Duncan McDonald in the backfield with two running backs. He turns and pitches it to Schmidt, who gets a nice hole on the right side. Able to power through that hole for, well, actually a little less than I thought. Only a gain of about 2. It looked like more than Schmidt was so far behind to McDonald when they did the handoff that Schmidt had to really accelerate through the line. And even though it looked like he had gained yardage, he'd started so far back, he really didn't gain much by the time they collapsed on him. And it is McDonald back in the shotgun with a running back next to him. Three receivers to the left, one out to the right. And he looks over to his right, and he gets to a player in space on the left side, able to hop to the middle. But an excellent job. That was number 2, Basiru Diawa, with the catch. It was a gain of about 4 on that play.
On the tackle, going to bring up a 3rd and 5. Ball on the 40.
So 3rd and 5 for the Seawolves. Actually, 3rd and 6 from the 40.
And third again, these teams not being able to get into third and short. They've been looking at third at least 5 throughout the game here so far. And it is McDonald back in the shotgun. Two receivers to the left, two receivers to the right. Calls for it, throws it over at a bubble screen to the left side. Receiver tries to make a man miss and is not able to. That's going to be a gain of about 2. And the tackle was made by Zach Dunn on that play to stop it. It's going to be 4th down and a punt coming up.
Yeah,
4th and 4 from the 41.
For the Seawolves.
And so the Tigers again are going to get this back. You talked about quick possessions. This is going to be a very quick one. Punter is standing back at about the 30-yard line. He gets it up. Nice punt this time. Flying up high. It's going to be fair caught. Called for the fair catch at the 30. And the Tigers are going to get a chance again to put some points on the board.
Yeah, not a very sustained drive there at all by the Seawolves there. 4 plays, only 6 yards, taking just about 1:58 off the clock. So this already the 4th possession for the two teams in this first quarter. 5:14 left to play. The Tigers and Seawolves scoreless from Doc Collins Field. You're listening to Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK Port Henry.
So here's an interesting thing. These teams have run 14 offensive plays. They haven't had a single play over 4 yards, either one. Tim Gettleman under center at the 30-yard line, has it? He's going to hand it off to Trudeau, who tries to power it up the middle. Gain of about 5, maybe a long 4 on that first down carry. It's going to be 2nd and 6 coming up.
Company on the tackle. 2nd and 5.
So they're going to give him 5 on that.
And Thatcher Trudeau, as we said, a little bit of a thumper. He said last week he had been obviously disappointed to see his teammate CJ go down with an injury, but Thatcher's been working to step into it. He talked about last week about how much he enjoys running the ball. See if the Tigers go to him again here. Gettleman under center. They are going to go to Trudeau again, and this time they're going to wish they hadn't. He immediately gets stacked up by a pair of Seawolves. And gain of maybe a yard on that. And the Tigers, 3rd and about 5, still not going anywhere fast.
No, not really. One of the things that we've seen for both teams in this game, all of them have gotten to like 3rd down with significant yardages.
Yep.
Not like last week or even the week before. We saw 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. It's been 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6. Right now, 3rd and 4 from the 36.
This would be the closest one so far, I believe. Gettleman under center with three running backs in the double wing. And he has it. He's going to hand it to Fisher, who comes from the right to the left. Going to pick up a first down by cutting right up through Fisher the middle of the field. That was a nice gain of about seven.
McDonald and Dockton.
First and 10 coming up for the 44 for the Middlebury Tigers. 0-0, 3:57 left to go in the first quarter.
And the Tigers, they're going right up the middle and picking up a nice gain there. First down for the Tigers. As you mentioned, the ball on the 44, first and 10.
Gettleman under center. He's got three running backs in the double wing, two wide receivers off to the right side. He calls for it. He's going to keep it to himself. Immediately taking that corner, does it with speed. Slipping upfield, gets close to the first down after a little physical scrum over on the right side. Nice nine-yard pickup for Tim Gettleman.
And Gettleman running quickly to the right there. And again, we see the Tigers utilizing their speed. Maybe we're starting to get some momentum here, get something going, because he really got out to the right side there pretty quick.
Very often the Tigers run options out of that look, and of course they didn't there because the option takes a little bit of time. And so there was none of that. They just immediately had those tight ends, really, that were standing out to the outside, go out and block that corner. He was able to get to it. Gettleman now is under center looking at a second and one. He's got Trudeau behind him. He's going to roll out, though, and look downfield. He's got a couple of Seawolves after him. One's able to get a hold of him. He was not able to get away. That's going to be a sack for Burlington.
Tackled in the backfield.
Looks like he lost about two on that one.
All back at midfield where it's going to be third.
And that was some strength on that. One thing we talked about was the size of South Burlington. They are much bigger along the line than the Tigers are. Two people were in the backfield with Gettleman, and one of them actually reached back and grabbed him by the jersey, and he was big enough and strong enough that just grabbing onto the jersey was enough to make the other allow the other two tacklers to come over. Having size in football, no surprise, does matter. Gettleman under center with two receivers to the left, two to the right, one running back. Receiver goes into motion. Gettleman, though, is going to fake it and try out the middle. It's going to be a first down run for Tim Gettleman. He has a five-yard pickup.
For the first down.
And again, the Tigers getting success running right through the middle there. Nice job by their line there to give them and their runners some space to work.
Well, one thing that I think they've done is they're getting Burlington to think that they're going. Very often the Tigers start on the inside and then go out. I think to some degree what they've done is started from the outside in. They started out with different plays out to the outside, and now we see them coming back to the middle because they're spreading Burlington out. Right now, Gettleman is under center. Four wide receivers, one fullback. It's going to be a pitch to Fisher in the backfield. He makes one tackler miss. He's not able to make the second one miss. And he almost gets back Fisher to the line of scrimmage, but he is brought down.
Loses a couple.
And again, on that play, the Seawolves with some nice penetration there in the backfield.
So what the Seawolves may find is that if their linebackers are able to get over to those sidelines and stop those runs, that they might be able to play in a little bit and still be able to pursue to the outside, but also be able to stop that middle. For the Tigers, they're going to want to keep spreading the Seawolves out, I think, so far.
Loss of two on that play.
It is a 12 coming up for the Tigers. From the Seawolves, 47. Gettleman under center with four wide receivers. One of those wide receivers becomes a running back, and it is going to be Tyler Buxton becoming another running back coming from the right, plowing right up the middle again. Now he's in a gang of Seawolves as they try to take him down. He's going to get almost a first down. He picked up about 11 yards. They might have to measure this one.
Yeah, he did a nice job running slightly to the left there.
Company on the stop.
The Middlebury offensive line doing a great job so far in this game, giving their runners time to get some speed going and gaining some important yards.
Yeah, that's a great point. They do; these plays are allowing them to gain a lot of momentum before they even hit the point where the defensive and offensive lines are meeting each other. They give it a first down for the Tigers. So right now, Bruce, the Tigers are moving the football.
Yeah, really the first sustained drive of this game for either team. By the way, Bjarke, this is the 10th drive, the 10th play of this drive that started on the Middlebury 30, so they've picked up 35 yards so far.
Yeah, certainly not a big per-play average there. Gettleman under center, three running backs now, and several wide receivers. Gettleman has it. He's going to hand it off to Buxton again, who's going to try that middle again. He's making people slip and making people miss. And a large gain by him again, straight up the middle of the field from the 35 down to about the 21.
It looks almost like a 15-yard game on them. They're going to give him 15. Another first down for the Tigers. First and 10 from the Seawolves, 20. 25.5 seconds left in this first quarter.
Not surprising to hear that Tyler's getting these in bunches. This year, he actually has the highest per carry average of any of the running backs on the team. He's had 268 yards or so on 35 carries. And at the end of that play, they called a personal foul against Burlington, South Burlington, a face mask. Very auspicious for the Tigers. It's going to be first and 10 from the 10-yard line.
An ill-timed penalty there by the Seawolves.
Once again, we see teams hurting themselves with needless penalties. Right now for the Tigers, though, they're loving it. First and 10 from the 10. Gettleman under center. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. A running back in the backfield. Gettleman throws it out to one of those receivers. Tyler Buxton is going to run in for a touchdown. I do not think that touchdown's going to stand, however. Don't think that's going to stand.
Well, a flag in the backfield there.
I think they might end up actually calling a chop block against Thatcher Trudeau. As the defensive lineman was coming through, Thatcher went down at his knees.
Chop block called against Trudeau.
Yep, you could kind of see it develop. The question was whether or not they were going to call it. So for the Tigers, who had just benefited from a penalty, now they just got hit by one.
So this will be moved back to, I believe, the 25.
10-yard penalty that's from the spot of the foul. Going to bring the ball out to the 25.
25.
Gotcha, because that was where the spot of the actual foul occurred. Yes.
For the Tigers.
So first and very long coming up for the Tigers. Here the ball's on the 25. First and 25. First and goal for these Tigers. Gettleman under center. He has three running backs in the double wing. No wide receivers. Two tight ends. One on each end of the line. Now he takes it. He's going to hand it off to Buxton, who's able to get a big space to the left and to get out in space to the 10, down to the 5. He ended up losing it out of bounds, but it went out of bounds. That was a 20-yard gain by Tyler Buxton.
He ran left there all the way down to the 5-yard line, and as you mentioned, as he was hit and went down, he fumbled the ball out of bounds, but...
What was nice about that play was that he could have turned upfield, but he had speed to continue and get that corner. We're going to step aside after one. It's 0-0, Middlebury and South Burlington, but the Tigers are threatening. You're listening to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
No one likes being on the sidelines. But if you're an athlete, sometimes injuries happen. If an injury takes you out of the game, you need a partner that can help you get back on the field, ice, or court. That's where the University of Vermont Health Network Porter Orthopedics comes in. They're on your team. Dr. Ben Rosenberg, Dr. Eric Benz, and physician assistants Trina Wilson and Brian Jocelyn at Porter Orthopedics specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of sports-related injuries, along with bone and joint care. They'll make sure you get back in the game. Located on Exchange Street in Middlebury or at PorterMedicalCenter.org/orthopedics.
Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol specializes in land clearing and are known for clearing small building lots to many acres of forest land. At Lathrop's, they can clear land for many reasons, such as building lots, views, pasture reclamation, solar farms, and more. Lathrop Forest Products has the equipment needed for any size job, and land clearing can improve the value of your property. For all of your land clearing needs, big or small, call the experts at Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol at 453-3600.
Now back to the field for more Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
It's the beginning of the second quarter, game 7 of the regular season here at Doc Collins Field. The Middlebury Tigers taking on the South Burlington Seawolves. It's 0-0, but the Tigers sit on the 6-yard line of the Seawolves, first and 5. Tigers looking to put their first points on the board. It's Gettleman under center. He's going to hand it to Trudeau up the middle. He gets tackled by a swarm of South Burlington Seawolves. Gain of about
Maputo and company
two, maybe. And he gets stopped by a
third and three
of... It'll bring up third and three coming up for the Tigers. And Bruce, right now, you notice the Tigers have had a sustained drive here.
Yeah, this is the 14th drive of this play. 14 plays, 70 yards, taking over 6.5 minutes so far.
And Gettleman is under center. He's going to hand it off to Trudeau. He's going to try the middle again. And it looks like he's going to get stopped a little before the end zone here. Tigers are going to have a decision to make.
Gets up to the 2 where it's going to be fourth and
it is
one.
Fourth and one for the Tigers. Whether they want to kick it or not. They have not tried a field goal all year, I don't believe, according to my stats and according to my memory. And doesn't look like they are going to now. Looks like they're going to go for it here. So close to the end zone. Why not? It is Gettleman coming under center. Fourth and one.
Coming out of the field, Middlebury.
Middlebury's going to call a timeout. And do you agree with this call, Bruce?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to. I mean, this is the first sustained drive that either team has had in this game. This is the 15th play of the drive. The ball on the one right now, a drive that started last quarter on their own 30. So they've gone 69 yards so far in 15 plays, taking, my math is correct, just about 7 minutes off the clock. So you really need to get some points off a drive like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've played good enough defense so far that the worst thing that happens, really, especially if you run the ball up the middle, which I anticipate the Tigers will, but who knows, the worst thing that happens is the other team has to go the entire length of the field. And they haven't yet shown tonight the big plays. Now, it's early yet. But for the Tigers, you have to feel confident. You have to trust your defense enough that if you're in a tough position, you're able to rebound. But here come the Tigers up to the line of scrimmage, looking at a fourth and one at about the two-yard line. Gettleman is under center with Trudeau behind him. He's got two tight ends off to the right and left, one wide receiver off to the right, and he's going to take it. Looks like Gettleman followed Trudeau into the hole,
and
that is a Gettleman touchdown. Tigers able to run it in. Trudeau did the lead block. TJ finished it off.
And a nice job by the Tigers. There's no real surprise. You pretty much knew where they were going with that, and they were able to execute it anyway. Nice job by the Tigers.
Absolutely. And right now they're going to have Bodie Rubright come in to take the extra points so far on the season. Rubright is 2 for 3. See how he does right now. He's shown a good leg so far this season. And he's waiting. Actually, Wyatt Cameron waiting for the snap at the 10. He's going to hold it for Bodie. Here comes the snap, here comes the hold, and there goes the kick. It is good. It's Middlebury 7, South Burlington 0. 10:42 left to go in the second. On 92.1 WVTK.
The finest furniture, housewares, home accessories, lighting, and bedding is at Woodware, a family-owned business located just south of Middlebury on Route 7. They carry brands known for quality. Flex Steel, sofas, sectionals, recliners, and accent furniture. Thor's Elegance, Vermont-crafted furniture. Beauty Rest mattresses. Hubbardton Forge, hand-forged lighting from Vermont. RH Lemure, fine hardwood dining room furniture. Oriental Weavers, area rugs, and Telescope casual outdoor furniture. Their top-quality furnishings and other items for your home are backed by a customer is always right guarantee. Plus, they deliver anywhere in Vermont and provide white glove delivery service anywhere in the country. It's all at Woodware on Route 7 South Middlebury, online at woodwarevt.com.
Chaplain Valley Properties is ready to help you with all of your real estate needs. If you're looking to buy or sell, Chaplain Valley Properties will provide you with the highest level of service. They're at 70 Court Street, Middlebury, a company with trusted real estate professionals looking forward to assist you whether you're selling your property or purchasing a new home, land, camp, or farm. See all their property listings by going to their website at ChaplainValleyProperty.com.
This is Middlebury Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back in the second quarter where with 10:34 left to go in this quarter, the Middlebury Tigers got on the score first. It's 7-0. Middlebury just kicked it away to Burlington, South Burlington. They brought the kickoff after a little process of fumbling with it a little bit. We're able to pick it up and bring it out to the 25-yard line. And that is where the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves will take over on offense. And here they come up to the line. Duncan McDonald bringing his troops up. He's back in the shotgun. He has two running backs with him. Lined up in a slightly offset eye. One receiver to the left, one to the right. And this is going to go to Schmidt. Huge hole on the left side. Cuts to the 30, to the 40. He's in a foot race to the other 40. Down to the 30, down to the 20, to the 15. Is he going to get caught? He will not. Simon Fisher tried to drive him out at the 5. That was flag on the field. What a humongous call, whatever this is. That was an absolutely fantastic run of 75 yards, but it looks like it's coming back against Burlington.
Wow.
That's crushing for them.
That is the type of penalty that will drive a coach crazy.
That's something. Last week, Burton kept hurting themselves with those sorts of plays. Right now for Burlington, South Burlington, they just did it to themselves. A huge play. However, you have to think if you're Burlington, South Burlington, you just did send a message across the bow. I think it was Patrick Ewing who, when he was young, the coach would tell him to go out and get a technical foul by dunking before the game. Even though he would get a tech, they figured it was worth 1 point to go out and just show everybody what it was like to play like that, 75 yards. Now the Tigers are a little like, whoa, what was that? Schmidt's a fast guy.
Well, it's the first time we've seen a play like that this game. And if you think about it, Bjarke, they really need to respond here.
They absolutely do. From the South Burlington position for the Tigers, they need to show themselves that they can stop runs like that. It's McDonald in the backfield with two running backs. He's going to keep it himself for a while. This isn't McDonald. It's the other quarterback. They like to switch him. Yeah, I see why. He threw it up the sideline. That's going to be a nice gain there of about eight.
On the tackle.
It was Paparello with the pass.
Ball's going to be spotted on the 24.
And it was, I believe, Robbie Mafuda on the catch. For about eight, it's going to be second and long coming up. Second and about 11 coming up for Burlington, South Burlington.
9:54 left to play. Second quarter, 7-0 Tigers over the Seawolves here at Doc Collins Field.
And quarterback brings up the team to the line, back in the shotgun. Two running backs with him, and he's going to take the snap. This is Kevin Paparello with the ball. He's going to hand it off to a fullback who gets no gain on that carry. That was Dodson.
Cameron and company on the stop.
And no gain there for...
It's going to be third and 10. Ball on the 25.
For the Seawolves, it's going to be third and 10 on the 25.
Wyatt Cameron on the stop there for the Tigers. Third and 10 from the 25. This is a big play. Because if the Tigers are able to keep the Seawolves bottled up back here, they're going to get the ball back with great field position.
Think of the swing and potential momentum that happened. A 75-yard touchdown to now being third and 10. Tougher spot for Seawolves. Third and 10 with the quarterback back in the shotgun. He's going to drop back and look downfield. He throws it up high. He's got a man open. He's also got Tigers. Pass falls helplessly incomplete. That was Paparello. It's going to be fourth down coming up for the Seawolves. They're going to be punting it away to the Middlebury Tigers.
Boy, you talk about a momentum switch there. That huge penalty taking a touchdown off the board, and then the Tigers playing terrific pass defense there. That is certainly a confidence builder for a young team.
Absolutely, and right now they have to be feeling good, up 7-0, waiting for the ball. The kick returners at about the 45, the punt returners are. Punt's going to drive Fisher back a little bit, and he's going to let it roll out of bounds. It's going to go out at about the 34-yard line, between the 34 and 35. That's where the Tigers are going to have it, first and 10, leading 7-0, 8:49 left on the first half clock.
And that drive there by the Seawolves that resulted in no points after that penalty. Five plays, only a minute 56 off the clock. And after scoring the first points of the game, the Tigers are going to get the ball back at the 35 with a chance to do some more damage. 8:49 left to play second quarter, 7-0 Middlebury.
Burlington started with the ball as well this game. Tigers are going to get it in the second half, so they can earn a lot of clock here. They might squeeze Burlington a little bit. Looks like there's going to be a call on offsides coming up here. It is actually going to be against the Tigers, and so they're going to be walking back a little bit. That is their third penalty of the night. Both teams have had three penalties. The huge one against Burlington, South Burlington, though, weighs much heavier than any of the rest.
Certainly. Penalties that take points off the boards are the ones that makes coaches go crazy.
First and 15 from the 30. Gettleman under center. One running back in the backfield. Four wide receivers. Gettleman looks to the right. Tries to throw it out to Buxton. It falls off his hands. One thought for Buxton. As it fell off his hands, he just started to kind of go, why did I do that? He has to make sure he's not behind the quarterback when he does that. That would be considered a backwards pass. You could pick that up and go the other way. So he's just going to have to be careful where he is on the field. But right now it is going to be a second and 15 coming up on this play for the Tigers. And it is Gettleman under center. Two wide receivers on either side. Trudeau behind him. Fisher goes into motion from the right to the left, though. But it's going to be Buxton running back against the grain, plowing forward. He's going to get back to the original line of scrimmage of this center downs. That was a gain of about five there.
On the stop, it's going to bring up third and 10.
But it's going to be third and 10 for the Tigers. Back to the third and long here that we are experiencing early in the game.
Another one of those downs where it's not, a gimme or a short yardage play that you need here. Third and 10. This is a big play for the Seawolves if they can stop this, get the ball back.
Gettleman has two running backs and two wide receivers to the left, one to the right. One of those receivers goes into motion, though. It's Fisher. Gettleman's going to drop back well beyond the line of scrimmage, behind it, running over to the near sideline. He's going to throw it out of bounds. Well, he's pursued by several Burlington and South Burlington Seawolves. They're going to have to punt away, are the Tigers. Gettleman on the night so far, 0 for 3 passing.
7:56 left to play second quarter. Four and out for the Tigers. And the Seawolves will be getting the ball back in relatively good field position here.
And what for seemed like a few really momentum-changing plays. The Tigers score, then the callback of that penalty, and then the ability of the Tigers to get it back. You had to feel like the Tigers were gaining some momentum. Now it seems to have slowed a bit as they're about to punt away to the Seawolves. The punt returner stands at the 20. Of the Seawolves. It is going to be Cameron punting away from about the 25. And a pretty nice punt. It's going to go down to about the 35. And a Burlington Seawolf plowed into a Tiger right at the end. Oh, boy, there are hits coming from the side all over the place. No penalty on either one of those hits, though. I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, pretty solid shot there. But for the drive there for the Tigers, less than a minute off the clock in terms of actual game time there, Bjarke. Four plays, 59 seconds. So with 7:45 left to play in the second quarter, the Seawolves are going to start their next possession at the 40, it looks like.
One thing I had put forward was that it was possible the Tigers could squeeze the Seawolves in between a long drive and the halftime. That clearly didn't happen. Plenty of time on the clock here. 7:45 left to go in this quarter. Seawolves with a first and 10 from their own 40. It's going to be handoff to Schmidt up the middle. Schmidt's going to gain about 4 yards on the first down carry. Nothing fancy, just plowing into the line.
Well, it'll be interesting here to see if the Seawolves can get anything going, because on the one drive that the Tigers scored on, 17 plays, 70 yards, 6:32 off the clock, and since then, the change of possessions, 1:56, and then 59 seconds. So let's see if the Seawolves can get something going here, or if the Tigers' defense can continue to keep them off the board.
And so here they come. It is going to be second and 6 for the Seawolves. It is McDonald back in the shotgun with two running backs. He's going to be handed off to Schmidt on that right side. Schmidt's able to accelerate, pick up ahead of Steve. That was a nice run. He picked up 6 basically with his acceleration.
You know, they don't have the sizes of the Seawolves players, but he is a big running back.
He is. He's quite fast when he accelerated. He was able to get very low and just plow forward through contact. So a physical runner as well as a fast one. One thing to point out about that long drive, every other drive has been hurt by penalties against the offense. That drive for the Tigers, they actually moved forward at one point on a penalty against Burlington, South Burlington. And it is first and 10 from the 50 for the Seawolves. It is McDonald back at quarterback, and he has it. He's going to hand it off up the middle to Schmidt. Schmidt's starting to get going a little bit. 6 yards straight up the middle.
You know, using his size, they're really getting started a yard or two back and really getting some speed momentum and running through people.
Yeah, one thing I noted earlier was there had been a run that looked like it was a long one, but that's because they had started so far back. But I think you're right. I think there's a real plan to that design. Get them really able to go downhill before they hit the line of scrimmage. Second and 4 coming up for the 43 of the Tigers. It's the Seawolves with the ball. Duncan McDonald looking down at his wristband, calling out for it. He has it. He's going to hand it off to his running back, Schmidt, up the middle. The Tigers this time doing an excellent job pursuing him. Looks like it's going to be Plouffe coming off of him. And Kerr, and a gain of maybe 1. They're going to be looking at third down. And right now it is going to be 3rd and about 3 coming up here for Burlington, South Burlington. 5:40 left to go in the second quarter. Tigers are still leading 7-0. But Burlington, South Burlington is across the midfield line. It is McDonald back in the shotgun. He asks, is going to keep it himself and try to plow forward. Let's see, he gets it. It was not McDonald, actually. It was a Manny Dodson keeper, and he got it. He was able to pick up that first down run.
Well, why do you stop for Middlebury?
That was a direct snap to Manny Dodson.
For the Seawolves, first and 10 on the Middlebury 39.
It's going to be first and 10 coming up for the Seawolves from the Middlebury 39. What the Tigers did to Burlington, South Burlington earlier, they seem to be returning a favor, at least a bit, right now with a bit of a sustained drive. Quarterback in the backfield with one running back. He calls it out. This is actually Number 12 himself, again, keeping it to the right, trying to plow forward, manages to take a hit and stay up, gets to the outside corner. A really remarkably physical run. That was a gain of about 18 there for Manny Dodson.
Yeah, Dodson took a hit there, really at the line of scrimmage. He just kept going.
Yeah, he really got his pads very low and able to pick that up.
Pick up a 15 on that run.
Ball on the 24.
Oh, they just changed that. I apologize.
That's all right.
Nope, they just changed it again. Now it is a pickup of 15.
And it is first and 10 coming up for the Seawolves. They're back now in the wishbone. And running back's going to try to take it right in the middle, but gets stacked up by a bunch of Tigers. And maybe that the ball came out here. We'll see.
LaRocket on the stop.
It was Robbie Mafuta on the carry. He lost about 3 on that.
Loss of 3 on the play. Second and 13.
Second and 13 coming up for the Seawolves. They're sitting at the 27 of the Tigers. 4:14 left to go in this quarter. Tigers still leading 7-0. And it is going to be Duncan McDonald now in quarterback. He's got his two running backs with him. He's going to toss it to Schmidt on the right side, who gets a bit of that head of steam. A great job by the Tigers. Able to come up and actually stop him for a loss of 1. That was one of those carries where starting far back behind the offensive line seemed to hurt them.
It hurt them because the Tigers' defensive line got some penetration there and kept that to a minimum. Actually, they gave him a loss on that one.
Yep, even though he got he ran about 6 yards, but ended up a yard behind the line of scrimmage. And the quarterback is back in the shotgun. I think this is Paparello this time. He's got a running back with him. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Paparello throws it to the near sideline for Basu Diawa. Diawa goes forward, doesn't gain much, maybe 2 yards. And it is going to be a fourth down coming up. A decision here. Wonder if they have a kicker.
Fourth and 11. Fourth and 10, rather. Excuse me, from the 24. And you're right, Bjarke. This is a critical point in the game here, this decision here.
Fourth and 10, right? If they have a kicker, but it's going to be a long kick if you do that. You're not talking many high school kickers anywhere in Vermont who can kick from, 40-plus range, and that's what it would end up being. So they probably don't have that on the roster. But you have to pick up 10 yards to get the first down. Really interesting to see what they dial up here.
Yeah, this is the ninth play of this drive, a drive that originally started on the Seawolves 40. The ball now on the Tigers 24. So you're talking 9 plays, 36 yards, and a drive that's taken 4 minutes and 55 seconds so far. So as you mentioned, kind of a sustained drive, but no results, at least not yet.
No, what they have managed to do, though, is sandwich a little bit of the Tigers between that spot. I said earlier when Middlebury had it, I said maybe what they could do is kind of wedge that South Burlington possession in there so where they don't have a lot of time to do much. Didn't end up happening for the Tigers because they ended up giving it over to South Burlington. But now, Burlington, South Burlington, I keep flipping those two, are looking at this 4th and 10 with about 3 minutes left to go. So if they're able to pick this up now, they're going to be able to get that Tigers into that point. If not, the Tigers are going to get the ball back with really excellent time here to go in half. It's 4th and 10 coming up for the Seawolves. It is Kevin Paparello, who they have used as the passing quarterback in the game. One receiver to the left, 2 to the right. He's going to throw it downfield. The man's got his man beat, but he cannot bring it in. Alligator arms on the pass part of Tenzin Kelly. He should have had that catch.
Yeah, he should have. He just wasn't able to get his hands up quick enough. It was a perfectly thrown pass, and he just was not able to bring it down. And so the Tigers take over on downs here.
Tigers who have lived dangerously to some degree this day. They've had one sustained drive. Over than that, they have not. But right now, they have 2:44 left to go in this half. Can they get some more points? They are leading South Burlington by a score of 7-0. Here they come up to the line. Gettleman under center. He's going to have his three running backs in the traditional double wing. Most of the night, they've done 4 wide receivers, but back to their more traditional look right now. Buxton in motion from the right to the left. Ball's going to go to Mount Buxton, cutting up the middle. Excellent job. Excellent hole opened up the middle. That's a 13-yard gain on that first down carry for Tyler Buxton.
One of the things that we've seen tonight when the Tigers have been successful running the ball is literally going right up the middle, and that's exactly what they did there. You got to give kudos to the Tigers offensive line tonight. They played very well.
They absolutely have. It is Gettleman under center. He's three running backs in position. It is Buxton in motion from the right to the left. It's Fisher coming from the left to the right and taking the football, going forward for about 3 yards, diving once again right into the middle of the defensive line.
2:15 left to play, second quarter, 7-0 Middlebury leading the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves here from Doc Collins Field. And the Tigers trying to get something else on the board before halftime.
Yep, 2 minutes left to go before halftime comes. It is 7-0 for the Tigers. They are looking at a 2nd and 8 from their own 40-yard line. Gettleman under center, 2 receivers to the left, 2 to the right. Trudeau in the backfield behind him. He rolls back, looks downfield, out of Anandis' face for release. It's intercepted at the 37. Gets tripped up there by Buxton. But that was an interception by number 36, Nico Semtek.
On the tackle for Middlebury. But it's going to be Seawolves.
And it's going to be Seawolves ball with 1:46 left to go. They're going to be on their 38. They will have a chance to go down and potentially put some points on the board here. That was not a good turn of events for the Tigers.
Well, we'll see if the Seawolves are able to generate anything before halftime. Boy, would that be a change of momentum if they're able to tie this game going into the half.
And it's just thrown up out of the middle. There was pressure in Gettleman's face, kind of threw it a little high. Ended up being just kind of a grab-em play. And right now it is Duncan McDonald in the shotgun. He pitches over to Schmidt on the right side. Schmidt's got some good blocking there, but he's got even faster Tigers coming over. That's only going to be a 1 yard gain or so. Number 68, Tristan Cadell, in on the tackle for the Tigers.
One of the things that we talked about in the pregame show was, would the Seawolves pass? Does it surprise you at all that they have not passed that much so far in this half?
It has surprised me, actually. I would think they would stick with it a little bit. One issue they seem to have is that they seem to have a passing quarterback and a running quarterback. Right now, it is the running quarterback in the game, so it's Schmidt going up the middle for a gain of about 4 or so. But right now, I think it kind of depends on which quarterback's in the game, what they're calling. They seem to trust, or at least want to use Duncan McDonald, the rushing quarterback, more than Kevin Paparello, the passing quarterback. But Paparello is in the game with 33 on the board. 33 from the 45 of South Burlington. Burlington, he calls for it. He looks downfield looking for a receiver, throws to the near side, and the receiver tries a one-handed catch, is unable to bring it in. It's going to be 4th and 3. One would expect they're going to kick it away to the Tigers right now.
With the ball on the, so in spite of that miscue there, a nice job by the Tigers keeping any damage from happening. And the Seawolves, at least apparently, will be punting here.
Yeah, but so far this year, you say that, we've seen a lot of fake punts, actually, this year. A couple by Colchester against the Tigers. We saw one by the Tigers last week against Burn Burton. But a punter is back at the 34 anyway, waiting for it. It does look like a punt is in the offing. It is. Almost gets blocked, but it goes back to Fisher at the 18. He keeps it himself. He's getting going backwards a little. Gets dropped at the 15. 33 seconds left to go in the first half. Tigers leading 7-0. They have the ball. Will they decide to do anything with it? Maybe they'll take one shot. My guess is they might just go into the locker room.
Well, again, he received that ball. He caught it, faked a handoff, and then went back and actually lost yardage, about 4 or 5 yards on that. So 1st and 10 for the Tigers from the 15. 33 seconds left in the first half.
And the Tigers come up to the line. Looks like they're going to be ready to take it into halftime based on the way they're all bunched around Gettleman in the backfield. And sure enough, down they go, taking a knee. I think they'll have to do this twice before halftime comes. But right now for the Tigers, 7-0. Pretty good start, all things told. And for right now, that's going to do it. We'll be back for halftime at the end of the first half. The Middlebury Tigers and the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves. Middlebury 7, Seawolves 0, a 92-1 WVTK.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance.
Real trust is having a partner you can count on. National Bank of Middlebury has experienced bankers providing advice, guidance, and support you can trust. And a full range of loans, savings, and online products and services. Find out what having the right partner can do for you. Offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at mbmvt.com. Bank real. Live real. National Bank of Middlebury.
Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
Hey, it's Mike.
And Shane from Mike's Auto.
Wow, summer sure went by fast.
Yep, now it's time to get that car checked out for winter.
The best way is our custom winter service. 30-point check that includes mounting your snows.
And don't forget to fluid film it before old man winter eats your car.
No kidding. And if anyone mentions this ad, I'll give you $20 off through September.
And we still have 24-hour towing in case you forget to check out your vehicle.
We also can do your state inspection.
And remember, if we can't fix it,
it ain't broke. Mike's Auto. Elm Street, Middlebury.
We're at Shearer Chevrolet, Buick GMC Cadillac. I know we talk a lot about the great deals, but there's more to Shearer than just great deals. We remain committed to the members of our communities. Whether we're taking a youth group bowling, sponsoring local community events, we believe it takes a village to make everyone successful. Find out more about how we support the local community. Follow us on Facebook, shop local, and join our village. Come visit us at 1675 Shelburne Road in South Burlington. Find out for yourself why thousands of people choose Shearer.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Monument Farms in Weybridge is 100% authentic and part of Vermont's heritage. They literally do it all, from growing their own corn, raising the cows, feeding and milking them, then processing and distributing the milk. You can find their great local products in many area stores if you live locally. Please stop by their popular dairy store Monday through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
Now back to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, the future of the Middlebury Tigers is right in front of us. Bruce, this is a pretty cute scene we see here.
Certainly is. What an adorable thing to watch.
They have a group of little football players from the Middlebury Youth Flag Football Program. And actually, this is going to be interesting, Bruce, because we're going to segue, use the flag football to segue in a second. Just for you at home, just so you know what we have. We have some temporary pylons set up on the middle of the field, and a bunch of youth football players from Middlebury are in there trying to tackle each other, ripping some flags off, generally having a good time. And it's funny to think probably how many of the Middlebury Tigers have done this very thing in their past.
Yeah, it's such a great game. And just watching this, I love things like this at halftime. Just getting to see the kids enjoy playing football, which is such a great sport, and it's kind of fun to watch. We've got such a great vantage point, too.
We do, and it's been a great game to call so far. It hasn't been a ton of scoring. The score right now is 7-0. The Middlebury Tigers coming in number 8 in Division 1, coming into Week 7 of the year. Tigers at 3-3, taking on the Seawolves, who are at 4-2, but so far, it's the Tigers have been able to put together the points when it mattered.
Well, an interesting stat here, Bjarke. In the first half, there were 11 possessions between the two teams. 6 for Middlebury, 5 for the Seawolves. The only scoring coming at 10:42 of the second quarter, a 17-play, 70-yard drive that culminated with Tim Gettleman making a 2-yard touchdown run. Bodie Rubright with another kick for the Tigers. He's been really spot on this year, making it 7-0. That's really the only scoring. But one of the things that happened in the first half, a huge penalty against the Seawolves that took a touchdown off the board.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one where the running back Kai Schmidt for the Seawolves was able to take the ball at the 25-yard line of the South Burlington side of the field, run 75 yards for a score where really no one touched him, and he just out-accelerated everybody. However, as you point out, there was a hold. It came back. They end up giving the ball over. But for everyone, I think that was a little glimpse of what the Seawolves can potentially do. And so for the Tigers, a 7-point lead at halftime is never safe, but it feels maybe even a little less safe right now.
Well, again, you know, we've talked about this all season long. I don't pretend to be a football coach. I just wonder why this team is not throwing more. We've seen that teams have had some success, and they're not doing it. So Middlebury up by 7 at halftime.
Well, one thing they may be looking to use their size to their advantage. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about flag football a little bit when we come back as we roll along through halftime here of Week 7. It's the Middlebury Tigers and the Burlington South Burlington Seawolves on 92.1 WVTK.
Offering the finest furniture, housewares, home accessories, lighting, and bedding, Woodware is a family-owned business located just south of Middlebury on Route 7. Their family provides friendly, knowledgeable, no-pressure assistance in a laid-back atmosphere with name brands you know for quality. When you call or stop in, you're dealing with one of the owners, so you're in good hands at Woodware. Their top-quality furnishings and other items for your home are backed by a customer's always-right guaranteed. Plus, they deliver anywhere in Vermont and provide white-glove delivery service anywhere in the country. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury.
National Bank of Middlebury is there for you 24/7. Buying a home, sending your kids to college, or starting a new business? They're here to make it happen, helping families and businesses achieve their dreams since 1831. With offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at nbmvt.com, or on your mobile phone, anytime, anywhere. Bank real, live real. National Bank of Middlebury. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one-stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. Hey, Martin, it's fun to watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
The cooler weather is here, and time to think about fixing any problems you have with your car, truck, or 18-wheeler before the cold weather sets in. So get the right parts the first time and quick at Napa on Court Street, Middlebury. See Brad and the staff, and they'll take care of you. And if they don't have the part you're looking for, and that does not happen often, they'll have it for you in 24 hours. So the next time you're looking for any part, stop in or call Napa Auto Parts in Middlebury, and you'll see why everyone is making Napa their choice. Price, quick service, and knowledgeable people that can find what you need fast along with the solid advice. See Brad and the staff at Napa Auto Parts on Court Street in Middlebury. For parts for the car, truck, and even the 18-wheeler, and those hard-to-find parts to keep your vehicle running smooth. Make your number one choice, Napa in Middlebury. Napa, closed on Sundays.
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK, Fort Henry, Bridport, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And out here in the flag football game, we just saw a halfback option pass. They do a lot of what they do at the older levels, and one thing that's fun to see if you're a Tiger fan is that these young kids run the double wing. They run what the Tigers do, and that's very intentional. Most of the people involved in this youth football program here in Middlebury came through the Middlebury Tigers system in one way or another, and they run a system that uses the same verbiage. So by the time you get into high school, you've been playing this same style of football since you were in fourth grade. So it's Middlebury Tigers taking on the Burlington South Burlington Seawolves here at Doc Collins Field, a week 7 of the regular season. Along with Bruce, I'm Bjarke Sears, happy to be rolling along through halftime here. Bruce, there's about 5:20 left to go here in this half. And one thing we want to talk about just for a few minutes, if we could, is the combination of Burlington South Burlington. That was just a story I felt like we just had to talk about tonight. Right now, those teams are combined because they didn't have enough players to play football. But they have three times the number of students as Middlebury. They are combined 1,800 students. Put that in perspective, Middlebury has about 630. You're talking about the third and the sixth largest high school in the state, and they can't get enough players to have their own football teams. It's interesting because there's a lot of talk about why that is. And a lot of the opinion here in Middlebury has to do with flag football in Middlebury versus tackle up in Burlington and South Burlington. There's a Northern Vermont Football League, and in that league, it is tackle football. St. Jay plays in it, St. Albans, South Burlington, Essex. Middlebury doesn't. Middlebury plays its own thing here, and they play flag all the way through eighth grade. The running theory among many people who I trust about football is that playing flag in Middlebury makes it a less threatening sport to play. You can go out even if you're smaller. You can go out if you're not that fast. You get a chance to play. You play with your friends. Everything's pretty good. Getting into a competitive tackle situation when you're a lot younger causes a lot more kids and a lot of parents to be less interested in the sport. And therefore, you have fewer kids in the pipeline. However, those you have in the pipeline very often, in a little bit of a Darwinian sort of way, survival of the fittest, can end up being often your biggest, strongest kids. That may account for some of the size difference we see on the field between Burlington, South Burlington, and Middlebury. But right now, tonight, Bruce, Middlebury is holding their own with a school, in essence, two schools, three times their size. That's pretty impressive.
It is really impressive, and one of the things that the Tigers have done tonight is play their game. Their touchdown that they scored was on Tiger football. It was a sustained drive, 17 plays, a time-consuming drive, and a running touchdown by Tim Gettleman. That's really no surprise.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one thing that I think was funny is even though they've been playing Tiger football, as we remarked earlier, they've kind of flipped the way they usually go about scripting the beginning of the game on offense. Very often the Tigers will try to, in a kind of very traditional football sort of way, hit you up the middle, kind of weaken you up, then start coming back with counters where one running back will come to the other side and the offensive line you think is going one way, but they pull a guard and they actually go the other. And then eventually they'll go to the outside and start to throw or do some other things. Tonight it's been quite the opposite. They've almost exclusively used a four wide receiver setup, spreading out the field for Burlington, South Burlington, and allowing their running backs to go up the middle. And tonight it's really been Tyler Buxton who's been taking advantage. Tyler's had a really good game so far.
Yeah, he certainly has. And again, it'll be interesting to see what adjustments are made at halftime. A lot of penalties in the first half for both teams. It'll be interesting to see what changes, if anything, for either of these teams, because we're one score away from it being tied. So, again, you know, who knows?
And what adjustments will they make? I know that one you're thinking about is, will South Burlington go to the air? I have to wonder if the Tigers will go to the air a little bit, too. So far, they've thrown four times, incomplete all four times, one interception. I don't think that means you should get away from it, though. I think the one thing you have to do is think about, how are you setting yourself up for the playoffs? There's only now a game and a half left to go before the playoffs start. And for the Tigers, I think you really want to be a well-rounded team. They haven't thrown a lot in the past few weeks.
No, they haven't, but what they've done in the last couple of weeks has worked. Last week, you know, going down to Manchester and winning that game, although it was penalty filled, and so far in this first half, playing their game and leading by seven. So we'll see. To me, the big adjustments are going to have to be made by the Seawolves in this half. I think they're going to be more, they need to come after the Tigers and be more aggressive.
Well, we'll see what happens here in the second half. We're going to step aside and we'll be back for that second half kickoff. It's Middlebury Tigers taking on the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves in 92-1. WVTK.
Everyone knows how great it feels to accomplish two things at once. That's the great thing about dual enrollment at the Community College of Vermont. You can earn free college credits to get you started on a degree that also counts towards your high school credit requirements. It's the perfect two for one. So if you're a Vermont high school junior or senior, consider dual enrollment at CCV. And if you're not feeling ready for college, no worries. CCV offers Intro to College and Careers, a free class for any high schooler that teaches you the skills you'll need to be successful. So apply today at gotocollegevt.org.
Hi there, this is Craig Lee, sales manager at Foster Motors in Middlebury. It's the Ram Power Days and the Jeep Adventure Days here at Foster Motors, and I want to invite you into our dealership to find a vehicle that works for you. I could sit here and throw out all kinds of discounts and amazing payments on vehicles for like 30 seconds, or I could just offer you our services. Great deals on new, pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and vans, and great trade values at a dealership that is there for you. Come in the Foster Motors. Motors, sit down with a member of our sales staff and see why we are much more than just a name on a mud flap. And always remember, at Foster Motors...
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WBTK.
And we're back, and we're counting down here to the second half. We're going to keep it right here, I think, and flow into the second half. And right now, they put 2 minutes on the clock because the young kids who were out there playing flag football had to get off the field, and they had to take the pylons off and things like that. But it's only about 2 minutes here until kickoff. That allows us to thank some of our sponsors.
Yeah, thanks, Bjarke. Middlebury Union High School Tiger Football on WBTK. Brought to you in part this season by the great folks at Napa Auto Parts on Core Street in Middlebury. They have parts for the car, the truck, the boat, even the 18-wheelers. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber and harvesting, SFI certified. Monument Farms of Weybridge for local fresh milk from their farm to your local store. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your local True Value Hardware store, and so much more. Denniker Chevrolet, where they give you free state inspections for as long as you own the vehicle. Route 7 South in Middlebury, Denniker Chevrolet, fine new roads. And LeBurge Insurance Agency Incorporated for all your insurance needs on Washington Street in Middlebury.
And, of course, thanks to all the sponsors who are there for us of Tiger Football. It really is wonderful the way the community comes out and supports this team. All it takes is one look at the crowd tonight to know how well the community supports the team. They are lined up from one end of this parking lot to another. Of course, the high schoolers have their tailgating going on. The kids, the young kids, middle schoolers and such are playing football over beyond the north end zone. And for the Middlebury Tigers, they're talking it over, ready to head out on the field, ready to receive the second half kickoff.
So let me ask you, Bjarke, keys to the second half for you?
Sure, keys to the second half for me are, can the Tigers break a few more long plays? What can they do to get players into space a little bit more? I know they've been living a lot in the middle, but they need to go to the outside a little bit more. I'd like to see them throw a little bit. And I think I agree with you 100% from the South Burlington perspective. I think they should probably get throwing a little bit, too, against these Tigers. Certainly for both teams, you want that to be part of your game. We'll see if they can get that going. And right now they are ready to tee it up. It's going to be the Seawolves teeing it up from the 5. It's going to be, Sean Clark, number 5. Teeing it up from the 40, kicking it away to the Tigers. It's going to be Simon Fisher and Ian Plouffe waiting at about the 15-yard line for the kick. Tigers are going to have it coming from right to left on your radio dial from the north to the south here at Doc Collins Field. And here comes the punt. The kickoff. The kickoff's going to be low, bouncing up to Plouffe, who takes it at the 15. He is going to hand it off to Fisher. Takes on the right side, and Fisher breaks through the middle. He gets to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 10. Nobody's going to catch him. What a run! That was a kickoff return of 85 yards for Simon Fisher.
That might have been the play of the year, Bjarke.
Fantastic play there by Simon Fisher.
The kickoff, really a line drive that Fisher picked up around the 15-yard line, just ran towards the sideline, and he put on the jets, and he was gone.
Yeah, man, he didn't have to do a lot. Wasn't a lot of wiggle over on the right side for the Tigers, leading just 7-0 at halftime. To put another one on the scoreboard right like that, that's got to put the Seawolves back in their seats.
Well, again, we talked in the pregame show about speed versus size, and that's a case where he just put on the jets and he was gone. There was no one near him.
Absolutely not, and certainly for Simon Fisher, who's had an effective year, but a little bit of a quiet one, that was a fantastic play. And it is, kick is up, it gets smothered by South Burlington. It is 13-0. Middlebury Tigers leading the Seawolves, 11:45 left to go in the third on 92.1 WVTK.
There are many banks to choose from. There's just one which truly puts personal service first and foremost. That's One Credit Union in Vergennes. The people at One Credit Union specialize in making your banking an easy and positive experience. Add in our very competitive lending rates, low-fee banking services, and the many electronic banking options with 24/7 access to your account. You'll see why One Credit Union is gaining new customers every day. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. One Credit Union. Together, we are one.
Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol specializes in land clearing and are known for clearing small building lots to many acres of forest land. At Lathrop's, they can clear land for many reasons, such as building lots, views, pasture reclamation, solar farms, and more. Lathrop Forest Products has the equipment needed for any size job, and land clearing can improve the value of your property. For all of your land clearing needs, big or small, call the experts at Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol at 453-3600.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And the Middlebury Tigers have taken the lead 13-0 on the first play of the second half. It was an 85-yard kick return by Simon Fisher. And the Tigers right now, who have just kicked it away to Burlington, South Burlington, are feeling pretty good about where they are, Bruce.
Well, they certainly should. We talked about special teams in the pregame show and that potentially being a part of this game. 85-yard touchdown run. Talk about a demoralizing way to start the second half.
And so right now, see if Burlington, South Burlington can handle the pressure now being down by two scores. And they are going to have their throwing quarterback, Kevin Paparello, in the backfield with two running backs. No, it's not Paparello. It's the running quarterback. And sure enough, they hand it off to Schmidt because of it. Gets a big hole on the left side and pops it outside. He's going to get a big pickup before he gets brought out. That's going to be gain of about 20 on that carry for Schmidt. That was a slow developing play, but it worked out well for them.
And he's gained some tough yards tonight, kind of like Thatcher Trudeau did last week, picking up some tough yards, running left there along the sideline, and they're giving him 19, so first and 10 from the 49, a nice running play there by Schmidt for the Seawolves.
And it is interesting for this team, depending on which quarterback they have in the game, they do very different things. When Paparello is in, they throw it. When McDonaldson, generally, they tend to hand it off to Schmidt. It is going to Schmidt again. He's going to try the right side. He's going to power over a Tiger, but only get back to the line of scrimmage. It's going to be second and 10 coming up for the Seawolves from the 48.5 of the Tigers.
The Tigers' defensive line, they are doing a nice job not letting Schmidt get anything going. And they actually lost one on that.
They did, lost about half a yard or so. It is going to be second and a long 10, maybe close to 11, coming up for the Seawolves. They're almost at midfield. And immediately a flag comes in on the play. See what the call is going to go against the Seawolves. They have a mistake there. I think it's just going to be a 5-yard call, though. We'll see. See what the call is. They're pacing it off for sure. Yep, it's going to be 5 yards.
5-yard penalty against the
Seawolves. It's going to be second and 15 coming up from the 44-yard line of the Seawolves. So right now, for another team, it's one step forward, one step back.
And really, for the Seawolves, any time tonight that they've seemed to get some sustained momentum, much like last week, there's been a penalty, and eventually that comes back to burn you.
Tigers being able to be the more calm and less mistake-prone football team. It is second and 15 coming up, and it is the quarterback, McDonald, in at the shotgun. He gets it. He's going to look downfield. He's going to release it high. Had a man, but just threw it too high to Tenson Kelly on the right side. Pass ball's incomplete. It's going to be third down. That was not a particularly accurate throw there on that slant to Kelly. And maybe that's why we see the Paparellos in the game when they throw.
Well, it seemed that the whole play was kind of rushed. It almost seemed like the receiver wasn't really ready for the pass yet. And again, the Seawolves have been four and out on a number of occasions tonight.
And right now it's third and 15, so they're going to have to get a lot of yardage here if they hope to keep this drive sustained. And it is McDonald back taking it by himself on the left. He throws it. We'll see if he's ahead of the line of scrimmage. He gets it out to a man who gets it actually up to the first down. Was he ahead of the line of scrimmage? Doesn't look like it. That was a nice throw and catch of 15 yards to Pasira Diawara. Diawara. Let me get that correct.
First down, we think.
Wayne Smith upstairs says it's short. I think they made it. We'll see what the call is here on the field.
This potentially a big play for the Seawolves. It's really the first time they've had any sustained pressure. They had one drive earlier in the first half that was about 5 minutes, but nothing on the board to show for it.
And right now they are going to measure this out. Wayne said it didn't make it. I thought it did. Let's see what the call is. And, I think Wayne's going to win. Yep, it's going to be fourth and very short, fourth and one. Considering how far they got, though, almost to the 40-yard line, I do expect South Burlington to go on it, go for it on this play. And sure enough, they come up to the line. It is McDonald this time. He is back in the shotgun with his low set man. It's Schmidt. He's going to keep it himself and try to go up the middle. Looks like his forward momentum is going to get it. We'll see. Might be short. Actually, now, now based on the spot, it doesn't look like a first down, but they're not even going to measure it.
Believe they are going to measure this.
Okay, they did decide to measure it. We'll see. I thought, if anything, this one looked a little short. We'll see. Big play here for the Tigers. Certainly, if they're able to have stopped them on that, Tigers could get this ball back, leading 13-0. 10-16 left to go in the third.
Yeah, you're right, Bjarke. This is one of the critical moments in this game. They didn't make it.
They didn't make it. What a stop. It sure looked like you got it at first, but then the spot didn't look like it. And they did not get it. Tigers loving things right now, 13-0. Seawolves just not able to sustain a drive against these Tigers.
Yeah, and again, you know, you're right. It did look like you made it. And when they spotted it, it looked to me like they, even more like they made it, but it was about a foot or so short.
Yep. So no gain there. And for the Tigers, it is 13-0. It is Gettleman under center with two running wide receivers to the near left, two to the near right, one running back in the backfield. It goes to that running back, Thatcher Trudeau, plows through the line, gains about two on that first down run. It's going to be second and about, well, actually gained about one. It's going to be second and nine coming up for the Tigers from their own 41-yard line. 42-yard line.
And you know what this sets up for the Tigers, too? Now that they're up by two touchdowns, you can really play your game. This would be a great place for Middlebury to get a nice, sustained drive.
Yep, you can open up the playbook a little bit, try some things out. Gettleman under center, two receivers to the left, two to the right, one running back in the backfield, and as they snap the ball, there's movement on the defensive line. I think this is going to be a penalty against South Burlington, not something South Burlington needs.
Waiting for the referee to give the indication. I think you're...
I think it's going to be encroachment on the nose tackle. We'll see. Yep. And so it is going to be...
5-yard penalty.
5-yard penalty. So for the Tigers, good things happening here in the penalty department. 9:41 left to go here in the third quarter. Tigers are leading 13-0. They're looking at a second and four from the Tiger 48-yard line. So they need to get a little past half field in order to get the first down. Gettleman under center. Three running backs in the double wing. One wide receiver out wide on either side. Buxton goes into motion from right to left. Takes the ball up the middle. The ball comes out. It's on the ground. South Burlington seems to be jumping on it. We'll see who has it. That handoff just did not go well. Seawolves recover it.
Seawolves come up with the ball.
See if we can get the name on that.
Really, the first mistake this game by the Tigers, and we'll have to see if the Seawolves can capitalize on this. A nice job by the Seawolves in recovering that fumble on the Middlebury 49.
Yeah, that was an attempted handoff from Gettleman over to Buxton, and just fell flat.
Center of the grandstands underneath the tower.
So right now, it is Burlington, South Burlington with a chance to score. Well, not a chance to score, but a chance to try to score again. They are at the 49-yard line of the Tigers, first and 10. They have McDonald in. He's going to throw it to Schmidt, who's going to try the middle, and he's going to get about 5 yards before he gets stacked up. A gang of Tigers, including Mason Kaufman, sitting on top of Schmidt after a gain of about four.
8:58 left to play. Third quarter, Tigers up 13-0.
And right now for Burlington, South Burlington have to feel pretty fortunate here to have gotten that fumble recovery. Tigers ahead by two scores, looking like they're going to start moving down the field. But it takes one play, and now for Burlington, South Burlington, they can see whether they can pull within 6 points on this possession. But right now, in order to do it, they're going to have to sustain the type of drive they have not really had tonight. McDonald in back in the shotgun. Two running backs. It's going to be Schmidt trying the left side. Decent hole on that left. Can he turn up field? He can't. Zach Dunn on the pursuit. Now a gang of Tigers. No real gain on that. Maybe a gain of about two. It's going to be third. Gain of one. It's going to be third and seven coming up for Burlington, South Burlington.
And on that play, the Tigers really showcasing their defensive speed there, ganging up on Schmidt and driving him back. As you mentioned, only a pickup of one on that play. Third and seven. This is a big play.
8:01 left to go in the third quarter. Tigers leading 13-0. If they can keep South Burlington from picking up this first down, they're going to get the ball back here. Unless they decide to go for two plays, I suppose. And they're calling it out as McDonald back in the shotgun. He's going to take it himself and immediately get upended by number 76, Josh Kerr, fired through the line and brought him down. Loss of a couple. They're going to be probably punting away, but we'll see what they decide to do.
Fourth and 10, a loss of three on that play. What a great play by Kerr getting right through there. The center, excuse me, the defensive tackle getting through there. Fourth and 10 now.
And they are going to be punting it away from midfield. Nice job by the Tigers there. And right now the punter is back at the 39-yard line. Tigers are waiting at about the 20. Remember, we've already had a kick return for a touchdown this half. That was by Simon Fisher. This time it's going to be Ian Plouffe letting it bounce. And it's going to be the Tigers taking over from the 16-yard line. That's when the Tigers are going to come out to take over.
Well, three plays or four plays for the Seawolves on that drive. No yards.
And for the Tigers so far this half, they have not had to do much because they had a kick return for a touchdown by Simon Fisher. And then on the next set of plays, the Tigers fumbled the ball. But they have a chance now to make something happen. Up 13-0. 7 minutes left to go in the third. First and 10 from the 16-yard line. Gettleman under center. Three running backs back in the double wing. No wide receivers. It's Plouffe in motion from the left to the right. And it's going to be Plouffe carrying the ball to the right side where he's going to get tackled for no real gain there by the Seawolves.
So for the Tigers here, a great opportunity to get a lengthy, sustained drive and really put the Seawolves in a bad position here. Boy, you can put some points on the board here. They're going to be in a tough spot.
Well, one thing you wondered about is whether the Tigers might try to pass a little bit, and I'd be interested to see they do here in this situation. They have Gettleman under center. He's got three running backs. He's got two tight ends out in the field with him. One of the running backs splits out into a wide receiver on the near side. That's Ian Plouffe. And the ball's on the ground. It came out of Gettleman's hands as he turned a little quickly. Burlington, South Burlington is claiming that they recovered it. Oh my goodness, the second fumble on the night. This time it's on the exchange between the center and Gettleman.
SeaWorld ball, first and 10.
That is two fumbles and turnovers on the last two drives for the Tigers, except this time it's a much worse situation. It's going to be first and 10 for the Seawolves on the 15-yard line of the Middlebury Tigers.
And that is the second fumble by the Tigers in 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
So right now for the Seawolves, you have to feel if you can't score here, you're not going to score anywhere. Tigers would love to have a stop here. And it's going to be Schmidt diving up the middle, plowing through to the left. Going forward for a big gain of about 10 yards on that first down carry.
Dotson, the ball carrier.
Actually, it was Dotson, number 12, on that carry.
Dotson on the stop. But it was enough for his first down.
And he picked up about 10. First and goal from the 5-yard line coming up for the Burlington Seawolves, trying to take advantage of this fumble by T.J. Gettleman. 5:54 left to go in the third. Tigers leading 13-0, but Seawolves are threatening. It's going to be a handoff to the running back running up the middle. Not going to quite get to the end zone. No, it's
Dotson
going to be second and one or two coming up. It was Dotson on that carry. Dotson's a heavier of the running backs, so they must be using him to try to move the pile a little bit. Schmidt's been very effective tonight
for the
Seawolves.
Second, goal, with the ball on the
second and goal coming up for the two for the Burlington Seawolves. Tigers looking to buckle down here on defense. It is McDonald back in the shotgun. He's going to hand it to Dotson up the middle. Dotson's going to try to plow
Dotson
forward.
Again,
he's going to get it. A 2-yard touchdown for the Burlington Seawolves. This game just got a lot more interesting.
Yeah, it certainly did. The Seawolves capitalizing on a Tigers miscue, punching it in the end zone. Right now, 13-6, 5:15 left to play, third quarter. And you're right, Bjarke, the game did just get a lot tighter.
Tigers are leading 13-6, but the Seawolves are going for the extra point. See if they can pull within 6 points. And the kicker is in. That is number 7, Cameron Yee, I believe. We'll see if we can get that number. The kick is no good. And so it is 13-6 on 92.1 WVTK.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
When making home improvements, consider your options carefully.
Excuse me? Hello? I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Hi.
Oh, finally. I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Well, you're in the plumbing department, so...
So you can't help me?
No.
Countryside Carpet and Paint is your hometown experts in paint, flooring, tile, and hardwood. Their advice is genuine, and they truly care about how your project comes together. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury.
Decorate the countryside away.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
The Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves, having pulled within 7 points, are now kicking away to the Tigers. It's Ian Plouffe returning the kick from the 20, gets to the 30, still spinning around. Eventually, Sue Strait shackled by Dodson, none other than the touchdown runner for the Seawolves. And right now, Bruce, 13-6 with 5:05 left to go in the third.
Yeah, for Middlebury here, they really need to calm things down, hold on to the ball, and get back to doing what they were doing right for really 2.5 quarters. Just play Tiger football.
Yeah, to being calm is really an important point you're making. Tigers right now have had 4 offensive plays this half, have fumbled on 2 of them, have 2 total yards. It is Gettleman under center with 2 wide receivers on either side and 1 running back in the backfield. One of those wide receivers becomes a running back, but Gettleman hands it to Trudeau, who plows forward for about 2 yards. It's going to be 2nd and 8 coming up for the Middlebury Tigers from their own 32. Tigers right now are leading by a score of 13-6, 4:48 left to go in the third quarter. 2nd and 8 coming up for the Tigers, looking over to the near sideline, getting the messages in from their coaches, combination of coaches, including Jordan Broughton, who played for the Tigers not very many years ago. And Tim Gettleman under center with 2 receivers to the left, 2 to the right. Trudeau in the backfield. One receiver moves from the left to the right, but it's going to be Trudeau trying the middle and gaining maybe a yard. And it is 3rd and 7 coming up. And right now it looks like the coaches don't have a lot of confidence in doing much but handing it to Thatcher Trudeau. Maybe trying to set something up here.
Well, this is a big play right here, because if the Seawolves are able to get the ball back, you want to talk about a change of momentum. They really weren't doing anything to generate any momentum, and they've scored on a fumble, and they're able to get maybe the Tigers 4 and out. This is a big play.
Very big play for both teams here. It is 3rd and 7, short 8 coming up here for the Tigers from their own 32 or so. Gettleman under center. He's got 2 receivers close to him, and he's going to throw it over to Buxton, who's going to try this near side. Will he be able to turn upfield enough for the first? He sure will. Nice pickup there, and a penalty when he gets thrown down as he comes on the field. He doesn't need to go talking to the player. They already called a penalty, but that was a nice gain of from 34 up to about the, see where they call it, about the 44. So that was a 10-yard gain. There's going to be a penalty tacked on top of that.
Yeah, Duncan McDonald for the Seawolves threw the Tiger player down well after he was out of bounds. And I would imagine he'll probably get a talking to for that.
Yep, one would expect he would, but right now they're going to measure it off. We'll see what length they give. It looks like they're going to give a 15-yard penalty, which is absolutely huge, against Seawolves. And, you know, it is really remarkable about Middlebury, Bruce. Pretty much any game you see, Middlebury will be the more disciplined team.
Well, discipline wins games.
It does, in football especially. It absolutely does. It's, you know, it could be a drive killer or it could be a huge drive gainer. And right here for the Tigers, they have to love where they are. 1st and 10 on the 41 now of Burlington, South Burlington. 2 receivers to the left and the right. It's going to be Gettleman keeping it on the near side. Kind of spins when he didn't really need to there. And they gained about 5 yards on that carry, maybe 4. Now they get about 3. Somebody's yelling quite profusely upstairs, though. I'm not sure what that's about. It's going to be second and 8 coming up here for Middlebury.
So 3:05 left to play third quarter, 13-6. The Tigers leading the Seawolves here at Doc Collins Field. Middlebury Union High School Tiger football on WVTK Port Henry.
3 minutes left to go in this third. As you said, 13-6. It's Gettleman under center with two receivers on either side close to him. Trudeau in the backfield. But this time it's going to be Buxton coming over from the right to left, getting a big hole in the side with Fisher blocking for him. Tyler Buxton's going to get to about the 20-yard line. That was a 19-yard gain. Actually, we're going to give him 20 yards on that carry.
Where Tigers will have it first and 10.
Nice job there by the Tigers. Right now, somebody appears to be injured. If somebody's good, they've taken a knee out there. Looks like a pretty quick recovery, though. And for the Tigers, who have had some trouble on offense this half, this long sustained drive is just what the doctor ordered.
Oh, absolutely. You're also keeping the Seawolves offense off the field. And first and 10 from the 19, 2:39 left to play third quarter, 13-6 Tigers.
And after that last drive where the Tigers lost the ball, South Burlington was able to score. Tigers really needed something like this. Only ahead by one touchdown. They're going to look to see if they can put themselves ahead by two scores. First and 10 for the Tigers from their own, from the South Burlington 19. Gettleman under center with four running wide receivers, one running back. Fisher comes into motion, becomes a running back, but it's going to be Buxton trying to left side, able to spin. It's going to be a flag on the field, I believe. Buxton went in, but I believe there was a hold on that play against the Tigers, so this one's going to be coming back.
Yeah, it certainly looked like there was a hold because all of a sudden the Seawolves player just kind of stopped.
And right now, if that was not, even though unfortunately for plays like that, so often when the coaches are able to go back and show the tape to the players, very often the play wasn't necessary. You know, in that case, Buxton had so much speed going to the outside that maybe there was a chance the guy could have caught him, maybe not. But as the player who's trying to block, you know, it's that block. As you start losing that player, you need to feel the need to hold him just for a second longer so you actually do hold them. And in that case, it comes back against you. And sure enough, it's going to be first and 13 from the 22-yard line for the Tigers. And it's going to be Gettleman coming up under center. He's got three running backs in the double wing. He has a wide receiver off to the left, a wide receiver off to the right. He calls out for it. And he's going to flip it back to Fisher, who's in the backfield, gets tripped up for a loss of about 7 there. There was a nice play there by the defensive player for the Seawolves.
Brent Bowman, the defensive back for the Seawolves in the backfield quickly. He made a nice tackle.
Yeah, that was a substantial loss there for the... That was a loss of about 7 on that play. Right now, it's going to be second and very long coming up for the Tigers. And a drive that had been going well now seems to be on the verge of stalling. It'd be nice to have a nice pickup here on second down. Second and 20 coming up. Gettleman under center at the 29 of the Seawolves. He's got a man in motion, Buxton, from the right to the left. He's going to keep it. He fumbled it again. The ball came out. Is this going to go to Burlington, South Burlington? It is the third fumble of the night, this time on the exchange between Gettleman and Buxton. This is not going well. We talked about discipline, but that's not disciplined.
Well, a third fumble in one half is something that the coaches are going to address. I mean, you have to.
Yeah, certainly right now. I mean, it's a hard thing because you have to prop your guy up. You know, Gettleman's the guy, and there's no question about that. He's played great all season. You have to prop him up as a coach, but you also have to a little bit of a talk to him and say, hey, all those good things you've been doing. We haven't seen this all season long. Why do you get the dropsies now? And right now, it is Burlington, South Burlington, trailing by only a touchdown with a first and 10 from their own 34-yard line. And they're going to go right up the middle. An explosion by the running back to the 40, to the 30. It's Schmidt. To the 20, to the 10 for a touchdown. Huge play for the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves. What a run. They actually started on the 34.
So that's a 66-yard touchdown run.
And what seems to be happening on the field here? Wade Smith seems to have yelled something out, but a 66-yard touchdown run. by number 32, Schmidt. What a huge play. It was not a lot of wiggle. He burst through that line, and once he burst through that line, much like the play that got called back earlier, he had so much speed that he would go, once he got back into the linebacker area, he was able to run it down. If you're confused by the distance, I believe they were lined up at the 34, but they had 29 on the...
What a turn of events here.
And right now they are going to attempt to run it in for two. And they're going to do it. And the Seawolves, with a daring call, have taken the lead. It's 14-13 on 92.1 WVTK.
Buying your next pre-owned car is a big deal, unless you're buying a certified pre-owned Mini. And then it's a mini big deal. Visit Mini of Burlington today and test drive one of their many certified pre-owned Minis. Buy with confidence that your Mini has undergone a 360-degree inspection by trained Mini technicians, and they're priced even better than they look. Your certified pre-owned Mini is waiting for you at Mini of Burlington. Your best years are still ahead. Visit Mini of Burlington, Champlain Drive, Shelburne, and at miniofburlington.com.
No one likes being on the sidelines. But if you're an athlete, sometimes injuries happen. If an injury takes you out of the game, you need a partner that can help you get back on the field, ice, or court. That's where the University of Vermont Health Network Porter Orthopedics comes in. They're on your team. Dr. Ben Rosenberg, Dr. Eric Benz, and physician assistants Trina Wilson and Brian Jocelyn at Porter Orthopedics specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of sports-related injuries, along with bone and joint care. They'll make sure you get back in the game. Located on Exchange Street in Middlebury, or at PorterMedicalCenter.org/orthopedics.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
The Middlebury Tigers are now trailing by a score of 14-13 with 1 minute left to go in the third quarter here at Doc Collins Field. After the third fumble of the half, there was a 66-yard touchdown run by Kai Schmidt. And after that, it was a Manny Dodson two-point conversion. Daring call by the Burlington South Burlington coaching staff. And they were able to take the lead. They've since kicked away to the Tigers. Tigers are looking at first and 10 from the 26.
So the Tigers were up 13-0. They fumbled once and Dodson took it in, make it 13-6. The second fumble, and now the Seawolves with the lead.
But Gettleman's in, and he's got the ball, and he threw it to Tyler Buxton. Got tackled down at the 25. Fans want a face mask, but they're not going to get one. And it's going to be 2nd and 9 coming up for the Tigers. No real gain on that rush by Buxton. Tackle right there made by number 68, Brett Bowman. He's had a couple big tackles today for Burlington. South Burlington. And the Tigers are looking over to the near sideline. Have to be a little bit stunned. They had been leading this game, now trailing by one. 30 seconds left to go in the third quarter. Gettleman's under center with two wide receivers on either side. Running back in the backfield. Fisher comes into motion on this near side. Gettleman has it. He lost it again. My goodness. Tim Gettleman tried to throw it out to Simon Fisher. The ball again. That was the fourth fumble of the third quarter against the Tigers. Wheels are coming off the wagon right now.
And the Seawolves recover on the 26-yard line.
On the 20.
And right now for the Seawolves, 13 seconds left to go in this quarter. They have gone on a long run here in order to get ahead. And right now they're looking to score again. It's going to be 1st and 10 from the Tiger 20-yard line. Fourth fumble again of this third quarter. And right now, it is McDonald back in the shotgun. One receiver to the left. He's got running backs with him. He's going to go Schmidt up the middle. Why not? Schmidt's going to get forward. No real gain there, though. It's going to be 2nd and 10 coming up for the Seawolves.
Proof and company on the stop.
And a really remarkable turn of events here. But we'll be back with the fourth quarter. It's 14-13 Seawolves on 92.1 WVTK.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk grade dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Desiree on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
Champlain Valley Properties is ready to help you with all of your real estate needs. If you're looking to buy or sell, Champlain Valley Properties will provide you with the highest level of service. They're at 70 Court Street, Middlebury, a company with trusted real estate professionals looking forward to assist you whether you're selling your property or purchasing a new home, land, camp, or farm. See all their property listings by going to their website at ChamplainValleyProperty.com.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Burlington, South Burlington is currently in the game trying to see a touchdown here. The quarterback just threw it up to the end zone. They both are saying they have the ball. And Middlebury got the interception apparently on that play.
We're waiting.
Right now they're arguing about it because the players are saying we're both hanging on to it. And Zach Dunn with the interception. Huge play there. Wow, they needed that.
Boy, both players going up and Dunn coming down with the ball. A huge play for the Tigers.
And the quarterback just trusted his man a little too much, I think, on that play. Underthrew it. Dunn, who's shorter than the receiver, was able to get that underneath position and jump up and bring it in. So right now the Tigers, because of the touchback, are going to have it first and 10 on the 20-yard line.
First and 10 for the Tigers with the ball on the 20.
So that's the Tigers dodge a bullet there.
They dodged a huge bullet there. First, they're only trailing by one. 11:43 left to go in the fourth. 14-13, but Tigers have the ball. First and 10 from the 20-yard line. Gettleman under center. He's going to drop back. He's getting chased by people. He's going to try to move forward. They're hanging up on him. It's going to be no gain on that first down carry.
So 11:30 left to play, fourth quarter, 14-13. Seawolves leading the Tigers. Really a remarkable turn of events here. The Tigers up 13-0, but fumbling four times in the third quarter, and the Seawolves capitalizing on two of those four to give them a lead as we get the fourth quarter started here.
Second and 10 for the Tigers from their own 20-yard line, trailing by a point. It is Gettleman under center. He's calling for it. He puts it on the ground again, but his knee came down. And right now, that's going to be, I guess they're saying he dropped it right about at the line of scrimmage. He should lose at least a yard on that. And because his knee went down, it's going to be third and 11 coming up here for the Tigers. That was another near fumble giveaway. And right now, it is third and 10 coming up from the Tigers. They could really use this third down conversion right now. Plenty of time left to go in the game, and it is basically tied. But still, the Tigers have to be feeling a little jumpy after four fumbles and almost a fifth. Gettleman's under center. He has four wide receivers, one running back. He calls for it. He's going to roll back, looking downfield, and is pursued by a bunch of Burlington, South Burlington Seahorses. And they are going to tackle him deep in the backfield. A big sack for Burlington, South Burlington. Tigers are going to have to punt this thing away.
And the danger here is the Tigers punter is going to be kicking from the end zone, and so the Seawolves should get the ball back with relatively good field position.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to be waiting at about the 45-yard line or so.
So 4th and 18 from the 12. So the punter has a little bit more room, at least, than we thought. Right on the goal line, I guess.
Cameron's standing about, half a yard into the end zone. He calls for it. He's going to catch it. He's going to get it up. It's going to be dropping at about the 45. It's going to be caught. It's coming back to the 40. Nice tackle there in the open field. That was Tyler Buxton, I believe, on that tackle. Able to keep McDonald getting any farther there. But it is going to be a first and 10 for Burlington, South Burlington, and they're going to be well in Tiger territory at about the 39-yard line.
A 40-yard punt there, and a nice job.
Nice job by Buxton to cover. He came up limping a tiny bit. Nothing too terrible, but needing a second, I think, over on the sideline to collect himself.
So again, good field position here. First and 10 from the 38. Yep.
And right now that is going to be McDonald back in the shotgun. He's going to call for it. He's going to hand it off to his man Schmidt up the middle. Schmidt's going to power forward for about 3 yards or so on that first down carry. It's going to be second and about 7 coming up for the Seahorses. Sorry, the Seawolves.
It'll be interesting to see what type of drive here that the Seawolves try to run. Is this a drive that you try to take a lot of time off the clock here, or do you try to score quick?
I think you just call your game as best you can. It is going to be 2nd and 7 from the 35. Back in the shotgun is McDonald. He's got Schmidt with him. He's going to be handing it off to Schmidt. He gets a pretty nice hole in the middle, but gets tripped up by a Tiger as he gets through. Nice job right now by the defensive line, generally, of holding Schmidt. It was Troutline in on the stop, and it's going to be 3rd and about 6 coming up.
You know, Schmidt has started in the backfield so far. He really seems to get some speed going, but not a lot of gain there because he starts back so far.
Because he starts so back. It either works or it doesn't, basically, on these runs. You have to settle for some short yardage ones to get some yardage ones, I suppose. It's going to be McDonald back in the shotgun. He has two running backs with him in an offset eye. The one receiver off to the left, tight end to the right. It's going to be Schmidt up the middle again. Tries to jump forward. Looks like right now the Tigers are just dropping at the ground, trying to trip him up, and they were able to. It's 4th down coming up. Not much of a gain there. 4th and 5 from the Tiger, 34.
Stop that time. Brings up a 4th and 5.
4th and 5, and there is not, you asked for passing from the Seawolves. You have not had that. There has been 3 passes so far in this half.
And it looks like they're going for it here. This is a big play.
It is 3rd and 4 coming up. Seawolves leading by 1. They take it. Looking downfield is McDonald. He has a man open. Is he able to complete the pass? He is. No catch. They're saying it's no good. That's a tough one. The receiver looked like he had it, but it fell incomplete. Tigers get the ball. It's a defensive struggle right now at Doc Collins Field. 8:13 left to go in the 4th. 14-13, Seawolves over the Tigers.
And so a change on downs. The Tigers taking over at the 34. 1st and 10. 8:13 left to play in a nail-biter here. The Seawolves ahead by a point, 14-13. Again, that the Tigers led 13-0, but a series of fumbles have put the Seawolves on top with 8 minutes and 13 seconds left in the 4th quarter.
Gettleman in a zone 34 with 4 wide receivers, 2 on each side, and 1 running back. Now a receiver becomes another running back, and it's going to be Buxton taking it over on that left side. Try to get forward. He's going to gain about 2 yards or so on that first down carry. It's going to be 2nd and 8 coming up for the Tigers.
2nd and 8 with the ball on the 36.
Ball is going to be sitting on the Tiger 36-yard line. 8 minutes left to go in this game. Tigers are 1 point down, 14-13. Gettleman brings his troops up to the line. It's important for him to stay calm here. It was 4 fumbles in the 3rd quarter. Really, T.J. Gettleman involved, Tim Gettleman involved in all of those. So right now, trying to calm his nerves probably out there in the field. Gettleman has it. He's going to hand it to Fisher here in the middle. Fisher's going to try up the middle. Gain of about 1 on that carry. It's going to be 3rd and 7. And then after the play, a flag comes in. My goodness, these teams need to be more disciplined.
There is a flag down.
And I believe this is going to be on the Seawolves.
Absolutely lack of...
Wow, they're marching back. That is an untimely penalty.
Absolutely crazy. You just can't be committing things like that. Football's a tough game a little bit because they'll let you play and they'll let you talk until they won't. And so 15-yard penalty. That's just such a, in a game where it only takes, not only, but where it takes, you know, 60, 70 yards to score a touchdown, to get 15 of those on a small play, after the play, probably some talking, unsportsmanlike conduct, that is a huge impact.
And this is not the first time they've done this. We had the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty over here where they threw the Tiger player down out of bounds.
No, it's really, players just can't be doing that. Gettleman has 3 running backs and 2 wide receivers. He calls for it. He rolls back from about his own 45, chucks it upfield. He's got a man wide open. Simon Fisher drops the football at the 18-yard line. He was wide open. No one within 5 yards of him. No one behind him. That would have been a touchdown. Big drop there. And so far, the Tigers have still not completed a pass tonight.
Well, again, there, the Seawolves this time dodging a bullet. A really untimely penalty that they just took, moving the Tigers up 15 yards and living dangerously.
No, Tigers took their shot. They had an opportunity there. That certainly got out the Seawolves thinking. It is 2nd and 10 coming up from the 47 of the Seawolves for the Tigers. Gettleman under center with 4 wide receivers. He's got one of them going into motion as the 2nd running back. He's going to hand it to Buxton on that right side. Buxton cuts back up the middle. Huge gain there by Buxton of about 12 yards. It's going to be a 1st down for the Middlebury Tigers.
Here's the 1st down. Thompson on the stop. Ball on the 36.
It's going to be first and 10 for the Tigers from the South Burlington 36. 7 minutes left to go with this football game. Tigers are trailing by one point. It's 14-13. Burlington, South Burlington. Gettleman comes up under center. He has three running backs in the double wing. Two tight ends standing on either end of the line of scrimmage. Gettleman's going to keep it himself and try the right side, making people miss. Gets forward. Nice gain there on the first down run. He gained about 5 yards on that play.
McDonald on the stop.
6:35 left to play fourth quarter. The Tigers moving the ball. Still trailing by one, though.
Moving the ball and eating up clock. When did they start this drive, Bruce?
8:13, so we're looking at about minute 50 right now.
And Gettleman comes up to center. By the time they snap this ball, it will be about 2 minutes. And so Gettleman's under center with his running backs in the double wing. Fisher goes in motion from the left to the right. Buxton goes in motion from the right to the left and gets tripped up as he gets across the line of scrimmage. No real gain there. It's maybe one. It's going to be third and four coming up for the Middlebury Tigers.
So you mentioned crucial points in the game. This is one right here. I think right now you're in four down territory here.
I think you would be, given where you are. 5:52 left to go. Tigers trailing 14-13. Third and four from the Seawolves, 29.
It's a big play.
Gettleman under center. Three running backs in the double wing. Two tight ends standing on either end of the line of scrimmage. And he calls for it. Gettleman does. He hands it off up the middle to Trudeau. Looks like Thatcher's going to get. Looks like he's going to get the first down. We'll see what the measurement is. Might be a little shy. We'll see.
Looks like it's about
ball just shy.
Just shy. Well, just shy of 25. We'll see where they call that here.
Official timeout.
Yep, they're going to bring out the chains, as I expected here. But looked like a nice little pickup. I thought he had it fairly easily, but we have a little bit of a tough angle here. Thatcher's not touched the ball a lot tonight. He has carried the ball
over to Harwood
nine times tonight, which like for a combined about 18 yards or so. So about 2 yards per carry. Tigers do get it, though. Big first down. I know. It's good. Said it was shy, but it wasn't. First down for the Tigers. Huge first down there for them.
That's a big play. Keeps this drive going. As they get closer, it also takes time off the clock. So if they're able to punch one in here, limits what the Seawolves will have time to do.
Keeps rolling along. It's going to be an exciting end to this game no matter what. Gettleman under center. Three running backs in the double wing. Two wide receivers, one on each side, calling it out. It is first and 10 from the Tiger 26, from the Burlington Seawolves 26. Gettleman has it. He rolls into the backfield and gets brought down. That's going to be a decent loss of about 7 yards or so there on that sack. Bowman again, who's gotten involved in quite a few plays. This is a talented defensive lineman.
This coming up, the eighth play of this drive that started at 8:13 of the quarter.
Guess they said he only lost five on that. Looked like more than that from where we were, but we'll give it a negative five. Second and 15 coming up for the Tigers from the Seawolves, 32. Gettleman under center, three running backs, two wide receivers. Buxton goes into motion from right to the left. It's going to be a halfback option pass. He throws it downfield, man, wide open. It's Zach Dunn bringing it in for the touchdown. 32 yards.
And a flag
touchdown
on the play.
And a flag on the play. These Seawolves are out of control.
He hit him well after the whistle.
To Zachary Dunn for the touchdown. And there's a flag after the touchdown.
That was the first completion of the night for the Middlebury Tigers. A 32-yard halfback option pass from Tyler Buxton. This is his second halfback option pass for a touchdown in 2 weeks. And right now, the Tigers are looking to go up by, I would expect them to go for two here to see if they can get themselves ahead by seven. Right now, it is 19-14. And sure enough, it does look like they are going to be in two-point conversion mode. We'll see here. They're looking it over at the sideline, getting in. But based on the people on the field, two-point conversion attempt is coming up here.
Unsportsmanlike against the Seawolves.
Seawolves got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. That's going to be assessed on the kickoff. So when they kick away, they're actually going to be kicking it away from the Seawolves side of the field to the Seawolves. Touchdown is good for the Tigers after that penalty. And right now, looks like they are going to come in and try a two-point conversion. Gettleman is under center. Three running backs in the double wing. One receiver off to either side. Gettleman's going to get the snap. He's going to drop back. He's looking downfield as he tries to get to the corner. Rolls back, has a man off his hands, though.
No good.
And it's no good. It is 19-14 on 92.1 WVTK.
Hey, sports fans. Paul here from Vermont Field Sports in Middlebury. Just a friendly reminder that summer is winding down, and that means hunting season is fast approaching. Drop by the shop and find great deals on bows, rifles, handguns, and muzzleloaders. We carry top brands. Make sure you're ready for opening day with a variety of hunting accessories to help you bag that trophy of a lifetime. Also, check out some great deals on season-ending fishing gear as well. Come on in and get ready for your next Vermont fishing or hunting adventure. Remember, always hunt smart and hunt safe. Thanks, and have a great day.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. Hey, Martin, it's fun to watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK, Port Henry, Bridport, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
The Middlebury Tigers, aided by the lack of discipline of the Burlington South Burlington Seawolves, have not only scored a touchdown to go ahead 19-14, but now we're kicking off to the Seawolves from the Seawolves side of the field, from the 45. The returners are waiting down at the end zone. The best thing that happened would have been to let it go into the end zone. The returner stepped back into the end zone. That is a touchback. It's going to be first and 10 for the Seawolves from the 20. Right now, Burlington, South Burlington, you have to think, probably has one good possession in them here if they're going to win this game. For the Tigers, you want to come out and stop them. It is four and a half minutes left to go on the board, but if the Tigers get it back, they have a tendency to eat a lot of clock. So if you're Burlington, South Burlington, you really have to make something out of this drive.
Yeah, you certainly do. And you also have to be disciplined. That is something they have not done tonight.
They have not done that in the least. It's not been a productive fourth quarter for Burlington, South Burlington. They have 5 yards and an interception. And right now is the quarterback back in. He's going to throw it to his man Schmidt, who's going to go up the middle. Again, that long handoff by Burlington. He ran 5 yards, but got basically a yard gain on that carry. It's going to be 2nd and 9 coming up for South Burlington. We have an injury, though, on the field.
And Middlebury Union High School Tiger Football on WVTK, brought to you in part this season by Autumn Gold Jewelry, featuring the Earth's most beautiful gifts. Autumn Gold Jewelry on Main Street in downtown Middlebury and online at autumngoldjewelry.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, with locations in Middlebury, Bristol, Vergennes, Brandon, Hinesburg, and online at nbvt.com. And One Credit Union, your locally owned credit union on Green Street in Vergennes. Lathrop Forest Products, with over 64 years of experience in the forests of Vermont. They have the skills and the capability to consistently harvest timber.
And right now for Burlington, South Burlington, it's Schmidt getting a handoff, trying to get up the middle of the field. He's not going to get a whole lot of yards there, though. Maybe about 3. It's going down, maybe 2. It's going to be 3rd and 6 coming up for the Seawolves from their own 25-yard line.
Gain of 4 on the play, 3rd and 6. Ball on the 24.
3rd and 6 coming up for the Seawolves. It is 3:36 left to go in the fourth quarter. Seawolves are trailing to the Tigers 19-14. And is McDonald back in the shotgun. He's got 2 running backs with him. He's going to go to Schmidt once again. Schmidt almost fumbles it, but then able to keep it, but gets brought down for no gain. Really nothing going there. It's going to be 4th down. Not sure what they were trying to do there, but they're going to have to give it away to the Tigers.
Again, I don't pretend to be a coach. I just don't understand why you would run 3 plays like that when the Tigers have been stopping you literally for the entire game.
And you don't like to be a coach, but one thing you've asked for is for passing. And right now, South Burlington really hasn't shown themselves capable of doing that. Right now, they have 15 yards in the second half and an interception. So certainly not taking to the air. And right now, they have called a timeout.
Well, again, you know, looking back in this game, if you're the Seawolves and you go on to lose this game, you've got there's some issues there, because this is not, it's not that you got beaten necessarily on the football field. You've taken three terrible penalties.
Terrible penalties. You had the Tigers trying to give you the game there in the third quarter by dropping the ball so often on the ground, and yet really not able to come away with it. Now, Zach Dunn did make an excellent play in the end zone. Well, Burlington, South Burlington was trying to score, so there was that. But other than that, it's been a lot of Burlington, South Burlington, as you said, hurting themselves here tonight.
We saw that last week, too.
We sure did, and it's really, you know, young folks, you know, you have a tendency to get excited, you have a tendency to get undisciplined. Football is a tiring game. It's easy to lose your focus. And but one funny thing is, the Tigers, almost always, the more disciplined team, and boy, have we seen it tonight. It is a 4th and 8 coming up. 3:02 left to go. It looks like they are going for it. Keep in mind, they are in back deep of their own side of the field. They're at the 22-yard line.
Timeout, Middlebury.
Middlebury takes a timeout, so they're going to have a chance to talk it over here.
And Middlebury Union High School Tiger football on WVTK, brought to you in part this season by our friends at Foster Motors, home of the We Care People, on Route 7 South in Middlebury. By Woodware, offering the finest furniture, housewares, and accessories on Route 7 South in Middlebury. Champlain Valley Properties of Middlebury, looking for a new home? Visit ChamplainValleyProperty.com. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. See them online at Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike'sAutoMid.com. And Mike's Fuels of Bridport and Brandon, for all your home, business, and agricultural fuel needs on Route 22A in Bridport and in Brandon.
And here they come out onto the field. 3:02 left to go in this fourth quarter. It is the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves with the ball. 4th and 8 coming up. They are standing at their own 22-yard line. It's do or die play right now for the Seawolves. And is McDonald back in the backfield? He's in the shotgun. He's got two receivers to the right, two to the left. He's going to look downfield. He has a man open, easily caught at the 35. And he's plowing forward.
That is complete.
Went for a gain of about 17 yards. That went to his favorite receiver, Basiru Diawara. 17-yard gain on that play.
And you got to give that one to the Seawolves. That's a gutsy call, 4th and 8.
Guess you're either going to win or not, right? You got to go for it. And I think they knew the Tigers were going to try to take a lot of time off the clock. It is 1st and 10 coming up from the Seawolves from their own 37-yard line. McDonald in the backfield, two receivers left, two to the right, one running back with him. He's thrown downfield, intercepted. Tyler Buxton saw that thing coming a mile away. He's taking it back to the 30. Oh, no, the ball came out, but it looks like the Tigers are on top of it. 5 fumbles for the Tigers, but they were able to overcome. Well, it would have been a fumble, but they were able to get back on it. And for the Tigers, a huge play with 2:28 left to go. The Tigers ahead by 6 points.
25.
A huge play by the Tigers defensively. They take over 1st and 10 from the 37.
Right now for the Tigers, you want to take it slow and steady and conservative here. And sure enough, they're in the wishbone, which you don't see very often. Gettleman under center, 1st and 10 from the 25. He's going to hand it off to Ian Plouffe, who gets absolutely run over on that play. That's going to be a loss of 1 on the first down carry. 2nd and...
Loss of a couple, 2nd and 12.
2nd and 12 coming up.
Again, paint crew, they'll be painting Sunday morning.
2nd and 12 coming up for the Tigers.
8 a.m. to get the field ready for next Friday night.
But for the Tigers, content to let time tick off the clock. 2 minutes, 1:59, 1:58. Tigers are ahead by 6. It's 2nd and 12 from the Seawolves, 28.
Timeout, Middlebury.
I apologize, Bruce. Thought I was going to sneeze. Didn't want the folks at home to hear that. Two Middlebury Tigers have taken a timeout.
Middlebury Union High School Tiger football on WVTK, brought to you in part this season by Vermont Field Sports, for all your sport hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 South in Middlebury. By Desibre Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location in Vergennes. J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Give them a call at 388-6363. The Community College of Vermont, where you can start college for free. Just visit the website, gotocollegevt.org. That's gotocollegevt.org.
And right now for the Middlebury Tigers, looking to pick up some yardage here and eat some clock. It is second and 12 from the 28 of the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves. Gettleman coming up under center. Three running backs in the double wing. No wide receivers. And here comes the center. Got Plouffe in motion from the right to the left. He's going to hand it off to Plouffe. He's going to try the outside. A gang of linebackers coming over and pursuing him.
And a flag.
And at the end of the play, a flag. Absolutely unbelievable. Another flag against the Seawolves.
Flag down on the play.
And that'll be a personal foul.
Really have to figure out how to play this game without committing those penalties, for sure. But the Tigers love it. They're going to keep moving their way down the field. In many ways, it just kind of seems like if you play enough plays, you're going to gain an extra 15 or so playing against this team. And then, to be honest, Burton last week was actually worse in terms of penalties. It's been a messy week for the teams that are playing against the Tigers.
You know, to me, there's a difference between last week and this week. Last week was just sloppy.
Yeah, I would agree.
And this has been just very, very undisciplined.
Absolutely. A lot of these have come completely when the play was over, whether it's been talking too much, whether it's driving people out of bounds. You're absolutely right. This has just been stuff that a coach would have. You know, a holding penalty, obviously, stuff like that. You could call that an awful lot. But penalties for just silly mistakes of, you know, just being kind of doing too much, basically, is what South Burlington needs to do. They need to play a little more within themselves.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I'm going to use a hockey analogy here. There are certain things you can't really teach. You can fix fumbles. I don't know really how you fix throwing players out of bounds, constantly taking personal foul penalties. You have to sit people when they continue to do that.
Yeah, you know, you do sometimes have to set a little bit of a message there. And, you know, it's one thing, of course, if it's one player who keeps doing these things. It's another if you look up and down your depth chart and you keep seeing different people do it. It's like, guys, the whole group needs to come together and see. And I think the best way to do that is just have them sit and watch film.
Yeah.
And say, what do you see? What do you see? Why are you doing that? What did that get us? What did that get us? You need to teach them that it's not about them, right? It's about the team. And when you go out and do one of those things because you're frustrated or you're amped up or whatever it is, you're hurting
second
an entire squad.
For Middlebury.
As a result of that, it's going to be second and five coming up for the Middlebury Tigers from the 19 of the South Burlington Seawolves. The Tigers are leading by 6 points. And Gettleman has it himself. He's going to run it over to the right side. He's not going to pick up the first down.
Keeper.
It's going to be third and about three.
And two or three.
See if Burlington's able to take a timeout here. They are going to. And it's going to end up being third. This is going to be a pretty important play coming up here for the Tigers. The next two.
Middlebury Union High School Tiger football on WBTK, brought to you in part by Countryside Carpet and Paint on Creek Road in Middlebury and the University of Vermont Health Network, Porter Orthopedics, experienced orthopedic surgeons specializing in the diagnosis and treatment of sports-related injuries and bone and joint care, helping you get back in the game on Exchange Street in Middlebury, and Shearer Chevrolet Buick GMC and Cadillac.
Big pair of downs here for the Middlebury Tigers and the Burlington South Burlington Seawolves. Remember, the Seawolves are trailing by 6 points, so it feels like it's handily in the Tigers' favor. Not completely. There's a minute 25 left to go in the game. The Tigers have the ball. It's third down and three. One would have to assume for these Tigers that this is two-down territory. One would hope they could pick up 3 yards and two downs, but we'll see what the Burlington South Burlington Seawolves have to say about that. Gettleman coming up to the line of scrimmage. He has three running backs, including Trudeau, straight behind him. He's got a man in motion from the left to the right. Plouffe's in motion, but it's going to go to Trudeau up the middle. Thatcher has it. That's going to be a first down for the Tigers. A huge, huge play.
That's the first down for Middlebury.
What that will do, basically, is allow Middlebury to salt this game away. And South Burlington's had to use quite a few timeouts here in the last minute or so with that first down run. Now the Tigers just going to be able to eat it a little bit. They may actually be able to kneel it out. And yes, they are. It is going to be Tim Gettleman going into the victory formation. And he takes a knee. As you hear the crowd in the background celebrate this win. The Tigers are going to be moving to 4-3. They're going to be tied in the standings with the South Burlington and Burlington Seawolves, and we'll have to let the QPR sort out who's actually ahead. But for the Tigers, certainly a chance to move up in the standings and have a better playoff game here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and their second win in a row, something we haven't seen this season.
Something we haven't seen all season. So certainly the Tigers need to be feeling good about their situation. We're going to be back with all the post-game action. The Middlebury Tigers have just defeated the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves by a score of 19-14. We're going to be back with all the action, the scoring recap, thoughts on the game, and the JP Carrera player of the game on 92.1 WVTK.
Everyone knows how great it feels to accomplish two things at once. That's the great thing about dual enrollment at the Community College of Vermont. You can earn free college credits to get you started on a degree that also counts towards your high school credit requirements. It's the perfect two for one. So if you're a Vermont high school junior or senior, consider dual enrollment at CCV. And if you're not feeling ready for college, no worries. CCV offers Intro to College and Careers, a free class for any high schooler that teaches you the skills you'll need to be successful. So apply today at gotocollegevt.com.
When making home improvements, consider your options carefully.
Excuse me? Hello? I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Hi.
Oh, finally. I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Well, you're in the plumbing department, so...
So you can't help me?
No.
Countryside Carpet and Paint is your hometown experts in paint, flooring, tile, and hardwood. Their advice is genuine, and they truly care about how your project comes together. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury.
Decorate the countryside away.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance.
Hey, it's Mike.
And Shane from Mike's Auto.
Hey, Shane, I think we should have been electricians.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because we sure fix a lot of lights.
Yeah, like your check engine light, airbag, ABS, TPMS, and maintenance lights.
Yeah, and don't forget headlights, brake lights, taillights, dome lights, and dash lights.
Oh, and that's not all. We can pretty much fix anything that's screwed or glued to your car.
So if your car shakes, rattles, bucks, spits, or just plain has a hissy fit, bring it on in.
Oh, and don't forget about your state inspection.
And remember, if we can't fix it,
it ain't broke.
Mike's Auto, Elm Street, Middlebury.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, welcome back to Doc Collins Field, the home of the Middlebury Union High School Tigers, who have just defeated the Burlington, South Burlington Seawolves in a seesaw battle, 19-14, that saw the Tigers up 14-0 after the first half on touchdowns by Tim Gettleman and a huge 85-yard touchdown run by Simon Fisher. And things seemed to be going their way. And then in the third quarter, the rails kind of came off the bus for a little while as the Tigers fumbled four times in the third quarter. And the Seawolves were able to capitalize, getting on the board at 6:58 of the third quarter. The Seawolves getting on the board a three-play, 16-yard touchdown run by Manny Dodson after one of the Tigers' fumbles. And then 4.5 minutes later, Dodson again, a 66-yard touchdown run to make it 14-13. But then, as the Tigers have done pretty much all year, 8:13 left to play in the fourth quarter. Tyler Buxton to Zachary Dunn, a 32-yard pass, a 9-play, 66-yard drive that took 3:43 off the clock, giving us our final score, 19-14, a game that was a little bit sloppy, but for the Seawolves, very, very undisciplined. A number of penalties that coaches are probably not going to be too happy about, but as Bjarke rejoins me here, you got to give the Tigers a lot of credit. They righted the ship and they won this game, and that's really all that matters.
They persevered. I don't know whether I'd want them delivering pizzas for me and after that third quarter, but they were able to persevere and they played a tough game. And I'm not sure anybody played a tougher game here than our player of the game, Josh Kerr. Josh, tonight you have been playing both ways, which you've not normally done all season. You have your hand taped up right now. Pretty damaged finger, we're guessing.
Yeah.
You said it didn't feel good on the way up, but we won't have you comment on that on live radio. But how tough of a game was that?
Yeah, so Burlington, they came out, and they were tough on offense and defense, but we held up on our side of the defensive side and made the plays, and we came out on top.
Now, one of the things we talked about early in this game was that Burlington and South Burlington combined have three times the number of students the Middlebury High School does.
Yes, sir.
I think one outcome of that is that they have bigger players.
Yes, sir.
What's that like going up against, you know, having to realize you're going both ways tonight? How's that going against bigger people? What do you need to do to be successful?
Yeah, you just got to stay low, like the coaches say, and they're too high, and then they just can't handle it.
You can kind of use that against them, right?
Yeah.
Lower and everything else. That third quarter had to be a little rough. A lot of balls went on the ground. Easy to kind of get a little upset. How did your coaches kind of help you guys get through that third quarter and stay calm?
They just encouraged us to keep our heads up because we weren't out of the game. And, yeah, we did it. And
a really remarkable game there. Zach could have very well been up here. Zach Dunn certainly had a fantastic game. You know, interception, different plays like that. Who's another player you thought did a really nice job tonight?
I would say Thatcher. He's not really too keen on the fullback's position, and he's doing a really good job at it for now.
Yeah, sticking his head right in there, kind of shoving it into everybody else. And so, hey, you hadn't won two games in a row all season long. You came in tonight, and you guys won a really hard-fought game tonight. It's going to be good for you in the standings. It's going to be good for you everything else. Next week, you have CVU coming up. On the schedule, they don't look that tough. How do you guys make sure that you maintain the right mindset going into a game like that?
We got to play every game like we know we can lose, and we'll do just fine.
And do just fine and set up for the playoffs. Well, our JP Carrera player of the game for week 7 is Josh Kerr. A really fantastic game, rugged game on defense and offensive line. Put yourself out there for the team. And coaches spoke really highly about you down on the field. So to let you know how this works, you can only be the player of the game one time. So this is your shot. So enjoy it.
Right.
It's been an honor having you up here. Go enjoy everybody in the locker room.
Thank you.
That was our JP Carrera player of the game. We'll be back with the rest of our post-game thoughts here on 92.1 WVTK.
Here at Shearer Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. I know we talk a lot about the great deals, but there's more to Shearer than just great deals. We remain committed to the members of our communities. Whether we're taking a youth group bowling, sponsoring local community events, we believe it takes a village to make everyone successful. Find out more about how we support the local community. Follow us on Facebook, shop local, and join our village. Come visit us at 1675 Shelburne Road in South Burlington. Find out for yourself why thousands of people choose Shearer.
Buying your next pre-owned car is a big deal, unless you're buying a certified pre-owned Mini. And then it's a mini big deal. Visit Mini of Burlington today and test drive one of their many certified pre-owned Minis. Buy with confidence that your Mini has undergone a 360-degree inspection by trained Mini technicians, and they're priced even better than they look. Your certified pre-owned Mini is waiting for you at Mini of Burlington. Your best years are still ahead. Visit Mini of Burlington, Champlain Drive, Shelburne, and at miniofburlington.com.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk grade dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Desiree on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
Monument Farms in Weybridge is 100% authentic and part of Vermont's heritage. They literally do it all, from growing their own corn, raising the cows, feeding and milking them, then processing and distributing the milk. You can find their great local products in many area stores if you live locally. Please stop by their popular dairy store Monday through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
The cooler weather is here, and time to think about fixing any problems you have with your car, truck, or 18-wheeler before the cold weather sets in. So get the right parts the first time and quick at Napa on Court Street, Middlebury. See Brad and the staff, and they'll take care of you. And if they don't have the part you're looking for, and that does not happen often, they'll have it for you in 24 hours. So the next time you're looking for any part, stop in or call Napa Auto Parts in Middlebury, and you'll see why everyone is making Napa their choice. Price, quick service, and knowledgeable people that can find what you need fast, along with the solid advice. See Brad and the staff at Napa Auto Parts on Court Street in Middlebury. For parts for the car, truck, and even the 18-wheeler, and those hard-to-find parts to keep your vehicle running smooth. Make your number one choice, Napa in Middlebury. Napa, closed on Sundays.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
The Middlebury Tigers, who entered tonight 8th in Division 1 at a record of 3-3, just defeated the previously 4-2 Burlington South Burlington Seawolves. A game that was sloppy on the Seawolves' part, a game that required grit and tenacity on the part of the Tigers, but also a game the Tigers could have given away there in the third quarter. Four fumbles lost. They're not going to be unfocused, I wouldn't think, going into next week.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, one of the things that they'll have to work on is starting from the beginning of the quarter and playing a solid, 48 minutes. They definitely had some challenges in the third quarter.
And what's funny is that the third quarter actually this year has been a really solid quarter for the Tigers. They went a whole slate of games not allowing any points in the third quarter. So it's been unusual for them to come out and be as sloppy as they were. And it was really on exchanges. It was one was on a center to quarterback exchange, two on handoffs, one on a pitch out. Kind of different ways to lose the football. But the Tigers are really going to need to do a better job. Next week against CVU, doesn't look on paper like a test. CVU is a very weak team this year, but 2 weeks from now, the Tigers probably sitting in the middle of the standings in Division One for the playoff seedings. Who's to say? But that would be a reasonable academic guess. We'll be looking at playing against a pretty darn good team, probably that first round. So we'll see what happens there. But they're going to have to play more disciplined than they did tonight. And for Burlington, South Burlington, my goodness, moving forward, they're still 4-3. They're in pretty good shape for the playoffs. They need to eliminate the silly stuff that comes after the play.
Well, again, you can coach certain things. Again, they had a tough quarter. They fumbled the ball a couple times. That you can go into practice and you can say, hold on to the ball. But when you have multiple players taking penalties, hitting out of bounds, unsportsmanlike conduct, that's a problem.
It is, and it's one they're going to have to write. And for the Tigers, less of those mental gaffes, but more of just hanging on to the football. But we'll see what the next week brings. This was week 7 of the regular season. The Tigers moving to 4-3. And next week, they get a chance to get even farther ahead of 500. They're going to finish out the regular season at home here at Doc Collins Field. 7 o'clock kickoff time, 6:30 for pregame with Bruce and myself. They're going to be playing against the CDU Redhawks, also one of the largest teams in the state. Not a particularly strong team, but the Tigers are really going to want to come out of that one and put a mark on the game, I would think.
Well, they've got some work to do in practice this week, that's for sure. I'm sure Coach Smith was probably not too happy with that third quarter. But again, I think it's something you work on in practice this week. And again, one of the keys this whole season has been adversity, your learning and everything. They won a game that they didn't play well in, and they won.
And that's important, I think, actually, from a, you know, we've talked about this being a learning experience all season long for the team, and you actually entered an interesting place after week 7 with a win like that. As a coach, you've gotten the win, right? You help yourself in the standings. At the same time, you can't have a team that's complacent because they just made some mistakes along the way. So they have to be engaged. You know, they're going to feel the pressure of feeling engaged. And so that's a good thing. And you could say, hey, no slacking off going into the playoffs. We need to focus and be ready. From a coaching position, actually a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, actually not bad at all. I mean, you won the game. You settled things down. You did what you had to do, and you won the game. There's a difference between not executing and taking foolish penalties that hurt your team. And that's what the Seawolves did tonight. I would not want to be on that bus on the way home.
It's going to be quiet for sure. But where I will be next Friday along with you, and where I hope you will be as well, is listening to us broadcast the final game of the week, the year, regular season game, I should say. Next week, it'll be the Middlebury Tigers against the CVU Redhawks here at Doc Collins Field. Middlebury's going to look to end the season on a 3-game winning streak. We hope you'll join us next week. For Bruce Seaman, for Jim back at the station, for everyone involved in 92.1 WVTK, and for myself, Bjarke Sears, I'd like to thank you all for joining us and invite you to join us next week. You've been listening to Middlebury Tiger Football at 92.1 WVTK.
You've been listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK. Tiger Football all season long on WVTK is brought to you in part by Napa Auto Parts, the A. Johnson Lumber Company, Monument Farms, Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, Denneker Chevrolet, LaBerge Insurance Incorporated, Autumn Gold Jewelry, the National Bank of Middlebury, Lathrop Forest Products, One Credit Union, Foster Motors, Woodware, Champlain Valley Properties of Middlebury, Mike's Auto and Towing, Vermont Field Sports, Mike's Fuels of Bridport and Brandon, Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, Community College of Vermont, Countryside Carpet and Paint, the University of Vermont Health Network, Porter Orthopedics, and Shear Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac. For a complete schedule of sports heard on 92.1 WVTK and more information, visit 921WVTK.com. Thanks for listening. This has been a local sports production on Addison County's 92.1 WVTK.